Blog Talk Radio.
And thankfully, no little Bow Wow to be annoying at the beginning of the show.
Boo!
Boo! That
was the highlight of last week's show.
Yeah.
Wait, we had a little Bow Wow on last week?
Briefly.
Yeah, we didn't have you, Lucas. We had to have Bow Wow take your place.
Oh, that's awesome. Did he discuss his greatness in the movie Like Mike?
No, yes, we just kicked him out.
Ah!
Yes.
We didn't have Omari on with him, so we told him to get the fuck out of there.
We're already I love
it. Right, he's... Lil Bow Wow's not allowed at the Palace of Wisdom.
He's allowed at my Palace of Wisdom as long as he has Omari on with him.
Yeah, but I do have the... However, I have the Palace of Wisdom playset.
Trista, isn't your Palace of Wisdom kind of full after what I told you earlier?
My Palace of Wisdom is currently in sociology class today.
You're talking about Tyler Black in sociology?
Oh, man, you should
yes.
see my background right
but,
now. It's pretty awesome.
But hey,
we are already off track.
Let's get back on track
now. Let's get back on track.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yes, Robert Solomon here, and we have a packed show. We have WrestleMania predictions, spring cleaning, we got TNA news, Ring of Honor news, stuff. Let's get started.
What?
We're starting out with everybody's favorite game.
Cliffhanger?
Around the horn.
Monopoly?
Card sharks.
These four things I know are true. WrestleMania 24 is shaping up to be one of the biggest disappointments of the year. You can bounce a nickel off of John Morrison's abs. TNA going live. Hey, I see no change in the ratings. And I'm Robert Seidelman. Let's go around the horn. And hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show of competitive banter. Doesn't that just tickle the cockles of your heart? Whatever that means. Let's introduce the players. Returning champion, Trista Timpson.
Yes. I'm so ready for this.
Hope you are, too. Trying to dethrone him. Trying to dethrone her. Our favorite number and numeral combination, D2.
Damn right. Don't you forget it, either.
We'll try not to.
And what's this I hear about cockles?
Cockles?
My
yeah.
cockle pronounced.
This is a family show.
Mute. From Ohio, Nikki Heyman.
Good evening, Mr. Seidelman.
As I start up the chat, because I got to keep score somewhere, so people who are listening to the show can actually read the scores. And finally, Canadian's favorite person, Lucas Pankari.
Yay! Woo! Here with free jubes and everything.
Right, go to work, guys. You know how this works.
Sure do.
Bring it.
Actually, hey, why don't you explain the rules for those of us that don't know how this works? I.e., me.
Okay. I score your arguments based on how good they are and how factual they are. Good answers get 2 points, great ones 3. I use a mute button to penalize and try to direct traffic on the show. We eliminate players at the second and third round, so a 1-on-1 showdown can determine a winner.
Sounds sexy.
It is sexy. Let's get to it. The first word. I'll try to edit this together so we can make a YouTube video out of it.
Woo-hoo.
We've all been waiting ever since this time last year, and now it's finally back again. A WWE fan's wet dream, that being WrestleMania. Being headlined in a triple main event by Edge versus The Undertaker, Floyd Mayweather versus The Big Show, and Triple H, John Cena, and Randy Orton is in a three-way dance. Should be fun. How excited are you for WrestleMania this year, D2?
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled for WrestleMania this year. I mean, for me personally, it's not going to be as good as last year because I was there last year as the Blue Meanie, shaking my big fat belly around. But this year, the card looks stacked in the when you just look at it straight on. But when you have the triple main event, the fact that you've got a big name in pay-per-views already in the WWE teaming up with another big name in pay-per-views with Floyd Mayweather, that's sure to get some of the boxing fans enthralled that don't really like wrestling itself because they want to see either Floyd get his ass kicked or kick somebody's ass. You've got
good point.
You know, streak with The Undertaker against technically 5-0/1 streak against Edge with Taker hopefully getting his belt back. And then a triple main event or a triple threat match that everyone's actually been dying to see. Me personally, I've been dying to see this with Orton, Edge, Orton. I'm tired and sleepy. Orton, Cena, and Trips with hopefully three really cool entrances for all of them because I want to see somebody skydive into the building. And I'm
pretty
sure
if
Orton skydived, he would be over as over as he could possibly get. It would make us forget about his face turn if he skydives into the arena.
Right. Nikki?
I'm actually kind of excited about this WrestleMania as well. I was at the last two Manias, and I could have gone to this one, but the triple main event, first of all, Edge Undertaker is something we've been clamoring for probably since even before WrestleMania 23. This one I'm really looking forward to. I like both participants. The triple threat match, you know, people will joke that there's only one reason that I'm watching it is Triple H. But to be honest, I'd like to see where they're going to go with Cena, given that he has a movie to shoot, and nobody's giving Orton a shot, and he doesn't deserve it. Joe Mayweather, I have no comment. I really am not interested in this. I understand it's the celebrity match that's going to bring in casual fans. But they've announced the skip. It sounds like it's a no-holds-barred match, which means we're going to have the pop involved. This is a volatile situation. Some things have gotten out of control. That's true. We got to watch out for that at this show.
Trista?
I'm always excited for WrestleMania. It's like right up there for Christmas and my birthday. Like, I get so pumped up for it. But I kind of see it as, like, quadruple main event because I think people keep missing out for Flair and Shawn Michaels, which I'm actually kind of looking forward to see because the only time I can actually tolerate Shawn Michaels is for WrestleMania. And, yeah, I can't wait to see Edge and Taker, and I can't wait to see the Money in the Bank, and I'm kind of excited to see the triple threat match, and I just love WrestleMania.
Sounds like a winning answer to me. Lucas.
Like everybody says, I'm jacked for it as well since it is WrestleMania, the 24th. And you got, as mentioned, the triple threat match. You have Edge and Taker, both streaks on the line. You have the Mayweather match, which is getting a lot of mainstream pub, especially in the sports networks like ESPN and TSN, which is the ESPN in Canada. You have the Flair match. You also have the Money in the Bank match, which could, again, possibly steal the show. And a whole bunch of other stuff. You have celebrity involvement again. You have Snoop Dogg's going to be there and apparent celebrity Kim Kardashian, though I missed that memo. But besides that, you had, as mentioned, a WrestleMania excitement, so it should be a good card and a good show.
It's turned out to be a pretty decent card from what I read. However, are you guys upset at all? I was just reading this. They took out the Battle Royal, the 24-man Battle Royal, and put that on a free view for their webcast. Are you disappointed at this at all, D2?
Absolutely, because, I mean, for being WrestleMania itself, a 24-man Battle Royal, that's a big payday for a lot of people to be on a major pay-per-view like this. And the fact that they're moving it to a pre-show online, if they had moved it to the pre-show that they normally used to do, that would have been absolutely fine. But the fact that they're doing it online, some of us can't really have access to a computer and our cable boxes at the same time. Some of us are going to be over at somebody else's house watching it. We're going to be at a sports bar watching it. I mean, it really limits the possibilities for us to actually see some really good interaction, plus a lot of people that we probably won't see again at WrestleMania with the spring cleaning coming up.
Right, because I think they stopped doing the preview channel thing ever since it became the TV Guide channel. Nikki?
I'm disappointed, but I'm not, because the ECW title is still the redheaded stepchild of the 3A belt, who was not going to get quite as a... quite as much attention as the as our other two titles, as referenced, since nobody else has even spoken of Chavo's match yet. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. The fact that this Battle Royale has been taken out of WrestleMania gives more room on the card and more time for some of the bigger matches. This means we can get 25 to 30 minutes for our two A-belt matches and a lot more time for Money in the Bank. I don't mind this. I do agree with D2, though. I won't be able to see it where I'm going. I won't have the computer access to watch.
Trista?
I'm kind of disappointed, but at the same time, not surprised, because they probably wanted to make more room for either the main event. I'm thinking they wanted to make more room for Funny Mania for some reason, just because more people would want to see tits and ass, and they want to see 24 guys wrestling each other for a title shot against Chavo. So when I heard it, I was disappointed, but then I was like, I guess it makes sense. But I would totally rather have it on the pay-per-view than on the webcast. And someone has their Bluetooth on, because I can hear myself.
That would probably be Nikki.
I think you've got your computer turned up, Rob.
Either that or it might be myself.
Lucas.
Yes, and triple yes. I'm very disappointed this isn't on the pay-per-view. I was really looking forward to seeing that, because you're going to see a lot of guys you normally wouldn't get to see, guys I like Kendrick, Noble. I was hoping Santino would be in this, actually, but no, he isn't. He's probably going to be in the Lumberjill match, I guess it would be. I was surprised Stevie wasn't on. Just the people that weren't in the Battle Royale disappointed me, first of all, and then after finding out that it wasn't going to be on the show itself was another disappointment. But like they said, you got to give more time to the other matches. I'm sure Mayweather Big Show will have extravagantly long entrances like last year's barbershop match, which had the longest bloody bring a barbershop thing down to the ring of all time. I think it lasted 20 minutes. But otherwise, I would like to see on the card, but as for time constraints, I guess you're going to have to take it off.
Right. Final thoughts. Do you think this WrestleMania will be memorable in one word of D2?
Knockout.
That was more than one word.
Knockout is one word.
Compound word.
Hyphenated.
Depending on how you're spelling it, of course. One word.
I'm following password rules, so I'll give you a point back. Nikki?
Undefeated.
Trista?
16.
And Lucas.
Woo!
Well put. And now we still go along with WrestleMania and the following these ages and times. They've been whoring out the Floyd Mayweather Big Show match like it's no tomorrow, as evidence of Floyd Mayweather making an appearance on Rome. On Jim Rome is Burning, and he told a special guest to host, What's-Her-Face, she looks like a bad mix between Charmel and Rock Khan, that he's going to give it his all and beat that punk Big Show, even though he is four times my weight. Do you see this thing living up to expectations, Lucas?
I'm not really sure exactly what the expectations for this are going to be, because I'm going to take an example from last year, the Lashley and Umaga match, as the kids call them, Umaga nowadays. That match itself, it probably was going to be like overbooked galore, that would make it better, but in reality, it really wasn't. I'm expecting that same type of atmosphere overbooked to a T with this match. But will it end up turning out that way? I really don't know. I think you're going to see a lot of Eagles involved on the Mayweather camp, especially with his posse and all that around there, so I'm really intrigued as to how this is going to work out, but I don't think it's going to live up to the expectations. But at the same time, I'm not really sure what the expectations are from everybody.
Trista?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Lucas on this one. Like, I'm not too sure what to expect, so I'm not going to really, make a prediction. But it's kind of hard what to, decide with it, because you don't know if Mayweather maybe was training to, learn how to take a bump, or if Big Show was, all four being like full boxing on this, and there's such a huge height difference. I really don't know what to expect. So I don't know what's going to go on. So I'm not too sure what's going to happen. I'm done.
Nikki?
Well, I don't think it could live up to the expectations because it's been hyped so hard. And it's bad enough that they couldn't even announce what kind of match they were going to have. None of the announcers have said anything. You know what we got? We got a crawl during SmackDown, a little text across the bottom of the screen saying that it was no holds barred, pinfalls, submissions, or knockouts, which means the process, as I said earlier. This is a volatile situation, and I hope that everybody is properly prepared for it.
Do you see it going off without a hitch?
I don't think so. I think there's going to be issues. Something along the lines of the end of the first one-night stand.
Fun! And people will not care about it because
exactly.
It's not involving the classic ECW guys. D2?
The way you look at this, I mean, the hype train for this has been absolutely huge. I mean, there's a height difference, there's a weight difference. But the one thing that everybody needs to realize is this is still professional wrestling. It's still an entertainment show. So when you look at it, I come from the Vince Russo school of sports. And the way I could possibly see this paying out is all this hype, and the finish of the match comes with Floyd throwing the cash and Big Show takes a lay. I could possibly see them actually going that route. Maybe have like the match interaction, like Floyd comes out, he has all kinds of weird pyro because there's an open roof, stuff shoots up in the air, Big Show comes out, Mayweather's got his posse, Show might have some of the guys from the Battle Royal or whoever was involved at all in it, kind of his posse to back him up. And then you come to the big match, you get the big showdown, the bell rings, they circle up, and Floyd reaches into his pocket, throws down the cash. I could honestly see that happening. And it really, really makes me sad. Buzz.
No, that just means the round's over.
It also makes me buzz, too.
I apologize for the buzzing, but that means the round is over.
No, seriously. Like buzz with excitement.
Ah.
I'm really hyped now.
Yes, type, so there's another point for you. However, it doesn't help the fact that you're still trailing. You're in last place. Scores are really, really tight. 12-12, 11-10. Buy or sell is next. And coming up on buy or sell, is it really worth it for TNA to go live? Is it also worth it for you being a WWE guy to go somewhere where you're not allowed to go? And does Jigsaw look better without his mask? Find out now. Buy or sell. Buy or sell time, so let's keep it moving. First topic. The thing about TNA getting better ratings when it goes live, greatly exaggerated. It only scored a 1.0 in the ratings. And it kind of hurt the Pros versus Joe's finale, which kind of hurt me. Buy or sell them ever doing this again, D2?
Buy. I mean, they see that they possibly, given the weekend, they might have had something huge on their hands. And in a roundabout way, it flopped on them. But still, they had the hype going into it of Sting's return, find out what's going on with the aftermath of last week, with X Division escape matches, the qualifiers. It's still TNA being TNA, only with less like pre-scripted stuff. I mean, it gives the production values could definitely get worked on, because I know I might be crazy, but I'm pretty sure I saw a technical difficulty screen during Robert Roode's entrance and a couple times where the staff was on. But it's the little stuff that they could work on. I mean, I
yeah.
see them live more often.
You're right, it has that before.
I mean, they could definitely go live more often so they can definitely work out their tweaks, definitely improve their game, and possibly move.
Yeah, let's keep it moving, though. Nikki?
I'm going to buy because, unfortunately, Vince has set this standard. What might be hurting TNA in the long run is the fact that since they do tape all this TV ahead of time, people find out what's going to happen on the show, and they read it and go, that sucks, I'm not going to watch. Or, ooh, I wonder how that works out. Yes, they do have tons of technical difficulties to work out. They had some horrible audio problems going between live and videotape packages. And, yes, that technical difficulty sign did show up during Robert Roode's entrance. I blame Robert Roode. But they have to move the next step in production for TNA. They have to start doing live programming to keep advancing as the number two company in the country.
Trista.
I actually didn't watch it last night because I was, like, way asleep by then. But I can see them going live again, trying to, I don't know, be more edgy and cutting edge or whatever the hell you want to describe it as. But whether it's a good idea or not, I don't think it is. And I don't think taping ahead's a good idea either. But I think they should maybe go, like, an ECW route or something like that and just continue to do house shows for a while instead of, oh, look, we have this guy. Oh, look, we have this guy. And then it's done for, like, 2 weeks, and then you have to wait. But, yeah, I don't know if they should do it live again or not, if they had as many difficulties as they did last night.
And Lucas.
I watched last night's show for an hour, and my brain started to hurt, so I didn't watch the rest of it. But I think they should do more live shows again, like maybe even a once-a-month thing, or kind of what they were rumored to be doing with, like, a Clash of Champions-type deal every so often, which would get them good ratings. But, yeah, same with production, but you get that even on the pay-per-views as well, so you'd figure by now they would have had a lot of that stuff all worked out. But at the same time, we may be nitpicking here and there because we want an alternative to WWE, but at the same time, if they do something wrong, we're going to land-base them on it. So at that point, I think if they want to keep doing it and go the live route, they should. But at the same time, I think they should hype it more, like a Clash of Champions type deal, because that would help them in their ratings.
Right. Right. About three technical difficulties. I saw the sound going that way three or four times. Actually, having on my DVR, I'll do another count. I think on Saturday when I have a TNA SmackDown marathon. And speaking of people in the SmackDown audience, it was reported that a lot of people raised their hands when Jeremy Borash asked the question, are you here for the first time? And as it turns out, somebody poked their head in, and it turned out to be Highlander Robbie McAllister. This would be fine, except for the fact that Vince told his boys not to go. Buy or sell Robbie getting released? Nikki?
Buy. Definitely buy, because even though there's really no damage done, because Robbie is unfortunately a C-carder, half of a tag team with his tag team partner out on an injury, this is still going to set a precedent to the rest of the boys. Vince is going to say, this is what happens when you don't listen to me. And it won't affect TNA's ratings. It doesn't affect Robbie personally, otherwise, and the fact that all it's going to do is make him lose his freaking job.
Trista?
I'm not sure what you mean by buy or sell in this situation, but I feel bad for Robbie that this even happened to him because I read that he just wanted to go see Johnny Devine for some reason. He said, like, I don't know why he'd want to go see Johnny Devine out of all the guys, but like he just wanted to go and like hang out and have a good show, and then you have your boss telling you you're not allowed to do it because they're competition, air quotes. But then at the same time, you can hang out with the ROH guys, and I just think that's kind of hypocritical, being like, hey, you can't hang out with this company, but we can hang out with the company that we've taken some of their top stars from. So if Robbie gets this, I feel bad, but as for the most part, I don't think that rule should even be installed in the first place.
Right, however, Ring of Honor does not have a TV program that could have, or a bunch of live pay-per-views, so that could have something to do with it. Lucas?
I didn't say you had to agree with it.
Oh, God. When I saw that last night, I went, oh, he's done. He's going to get fired. Mind you, I had them getting fired later on in the program in our spring cleaning segment, but I figured, yeah, they'll end up getting fired eventually, but this would just quicken the pace of it, because realistically, what they've been on heat now for since, ooh, at least the fall, and the momentum they had when they were getting the tag team title push in September was like absent, mine or that, not even much of a push at all. So, real like they were going to get fired, I think, eventually in the next coming months. But this just makes it quicker, and it's going to happen right away, as opposed to maybe in May.
D2.
Bye. I.e. bye, Robbie. When I saw that, I'm thinking, oh God. This could be fun, because when I first saw him, I wasn't quite, it looked like him, and they said his real name, but then I saw WWE wrestler, and that just gave it right there. Because apparently from what I had read, he was just in line wanting to maybe get in. The TNA guy spotted him, said, hey, come on in, and made sure they had him on camera. And as soon as he was on camera, he got a phone call from the officer saying, you're screwed, and he immediately left. So I definitely see him leaving the company, being fired or something like that. But maybe deliberately. I mean, there's another school of thought there. Maybe because he realizes they're not doing anything with him. So maybe he would just show up, know that it would get under the skin of the company, get released, and then go to TNA where they might actually use him.
You know, so maybe the key is, yeah, well, what would they call the tag team? Or would he just be a solo guy?
Oh, well, they're going to obviously, if they release one member of a tag, they normally release the entire tag team. And especially with Rory being out with an injury, don't see him coming back anytime really soon. They could send them both to TNA, call them the Lowlanders or whatever they want to call them. The Lowfields, who knows?
Oh, that's lame. That's lame. Next topic.
Who knows? Irish this time. It'll be fun. Come out as alcoholic.
The Lowlanders.
James Storm.
The Lowlanders. That's low.
This man.
He got muted.
That's worse.
Yeah, but he's back up.
Yeah, and you're also in last place. Next up, where in the world is Bobby Lashley today? Well, as reported on the WrestleCrap forums, four members saw him go to his high school, and he had this very important thing to say about Bobby Lashley and all his good stuff, what he's doing right now. Let me just pull up what he said. This is from WrestleCrap forum member CM Crunk. The things that he talked about was his amateur wrestling career. He also said the main point of him coming to our school was to talk about how he became successful and how we can become successful. He also said he might not go back into wrestling because he wants to go and talk to schools and act in movies and spend time with his family as well. I just saw this actually being a good thing for Lashley, Trista.
I'm not really sure. I wasn't too fond of Lashley in the first place, but he really left because of what happened to Crystal and how she refused to, like, edge his horn, whatever it was. Then, you know, you gotta draw a line somewhere where family is more important than your job, and he obviously did that, and, you know, I'll support his decision for leaving the company. But whether he can come back to, like, any wrestling company and have the respect, I'm not sure he'll be able to do that. But if he wants to go to MMA, then good luck finding a guy in the same weight class as him. Because dude's pretty big, and he's going to have to lay off the roids, so.
Well, he could probably take on Bob Sapp.
I have no idea who that is.
Imagine Bobby Lashley, but good.
Yes. Lucas?
I can't, for one, am looking forward to the day that Bobby Lashley does a leading actor monologue in a movie. The crowd will go wild with joy, I'm sure, with his amazing voice. But, yeah, if he wants to go this route and be like a kind of a motivational speaker and whatnot and going to high schools and whatnot, for him, I'd say good for him. If that's what he wants to do, then so be it. Like Trista said, is he going to end up back in wrestling? At this point, I said I doubt it, but you can never say never in this business. And even if he wants to go to MMA, I don't think UFC is going to pick him up right away. He'll end up in some other promotion like Elite XC or whatnot.
And D2?
I was never quite fond of Lesnar, as I like to call him, Black Lesnar. Yeah, the exact same mannerisms as him. And he wasn't really as talented, in my opinion. I mean, he came in as an amateur wrestler, whoop-de-doo. People have done that, and some have gone on high, some have gone in low. And for Bobby Lashley to be going around touring schools and wanting to do movies, more power to him. I mean, he can show people what happens when you think you're bigger than what you actually are, and when you get built up to the level that you are and then absolutely fall flat on your face.
Nikki.
If I ever see him in a movie, I'm leaving and boycotting every fucking thing he does.
Nikki?
Oh, sorry. I'm going to buy it because Bobby Lashley left not only because of the whole Crystal situation, but I understand he left for a similar reason that Brock Lesnar did. He wasn't terribly keen on the travel. Now, if he wants to be a motivational speaker, he's going to have to travel, but at least now he can get flights when he wants to. Hotels that might be a tad more comfortable. If he does choose the MMA option, I heard Bob Sapp's name thrown around, but what about Lesnar himself? Lesnar's a heavyweight and probably in about the same weight class as Lashley is. Didn't you just see the head honchos at UFC laughing and pointing at Vince for a main event that Vince couldn't get because of timing of a couple of years?
I'd agree to that. Next up, we go to the movies. Or probably not. Mickey Rourke just shot a few more scenes for his movie The Wrestler, which will be debuting sometime within the year. Scenes from Ring of Honor shows and Combat Zone Wrestling shows have been used. And with Larry Sweeney playing a ring announcer. Not what he was trained for, but he's good on the stick. But I saw this movie actually being good. Lucas?
That's a good question. Realistically, I don't think it's going to be played in, like, every single type of market, like a massive release. I think it's going to be, like, a small release. It'll be indie type of deal. I mean, yes, you have Mickey Rourke in there, and apparently Marissa Tomei as the stripper, a great name for that role, I guess. But I don't think it's going to be one of those movies that you're going to see being a mass release. It might be do well at film festivals and then do well on DVD, but as a big picture release, I really doubt it's going to get that high of a profit.
Me too.
I buy on this movie. I mean, it sounds in concept like an amazing movie, especially when you have Mickey Rourke, who looks like the washed-up old wrestler that's trying to get back into it. I mean, the cat in the movie, you've got people from ROH being in the movie, CZW being in the movie. I see it doing good with fan base type of deal, big publicity and everything. As long as they hype it right, it might do really well.
Krista, I mean Nikki. Sorry, Nikki.
I'm going to sell at this point since it's going to be such a limited release, they're not going to be able to get a whole lot off of it. Everybody sounds really high on it. Unfortunately, I haven't followed it very closely. I'm kind of hoping that it does well, but this isn't going to. If it's not going to be mainstream, they're going to have to cross their fingers about making their money even in DVD sales. You'll get some fans, but I'd have to see some more of the cast list.
And Trista?
I hope it does go. Like, when it comes out on DVD, I'm definitely going to buy it, despite what the review said, just because that's how I feel about wrestling. But I'm happy that they got someone else, the wrestler, because I read that Nicolas Cage is doing it, and I was just like, good God, why Nicolas Cage? But, hey, like, they're getting actual indie wrestling fans. They got someone that actually went out to train to wrestle, which is a huge point for him. They got actual wrestlers in there, and anything with Larry Sweeney, I'm all over it. So I'm definitely buying this.
Yes, it should be a very exciting match coming up soon for the... Actually, a very exciting movie coming up. Looking at the scores, D2, maybe a change of scenery was not the best idea for you. Joy of the Wild Wings, any last request?
Kiss my ass, this show sucks. Yeah, everybody.
Down, Edge, down.
Thank you, JBL.
And Nikki.
You're muted and gone. Rest of you guys remain seated. And after two rounds, here's how they stand. Lucas in the lead with 30. Trista and Nikki tied at 29. Are you three still here?
I'm here.
Yes.
Good, because D2 is not. He's gone. Actually, we just muted him, but he'll be back later on. Let's go. Out of bounds. I'll implant actual music stuff when we go to this stuff. Well, during the time of the fan fest, we had this nice little bit from TNAWrestling.com. It says that WWE has placed a bunch of a wall of security who are under strict orders not to allow anyone associated with TNA to enter their restricted area. However, after some harmless run-ins between WWE security and TNA superstars, even one TNA man wrestler was denied access to the backstage coffee machine, several TNA stars managed to break the ice with the security force and ease the tension, and everybody lived happily ever after. Yeah, right. By late afternoon, the TNA stars were able to convince security that they posed no threat. They were able to say hello to their friends among the competition. Thus far, no reports of any cookies or balloons.
Ooh. Oh.
Paranoia by Vince, ladies and gentlemen. Nikki?
Some people are calling it paranoia because they're saying, well, these guys are all in the same business together and that they should be able to see their friends and say, hey, and yeah, that's cool. You know, when you get to the Robbie McAllister point of it, this is where it gets really hairy. The wrestling business has this nasty little problem with people going to the competition because you could sit there and take notes all night. That's how Vince sees it. It's like an insurance agent from American Family sitting in on a Nationwide meeting. Vince is fiercely, he loves where he is in the business and doesn't want anybody to usurp it, even though the competition would probably help him in the long run. So yeah, he's paranoid, but he's got a good reason.
Trista?
I think it's sad for the wrestlers, just because, like, you see tag teams, like, when I first heard about it, the first thing that came to my mind was Edge and Christian. Like, there's two guys that are, like, best friends, and they're working for separate companies, and they grew up together, and here they are in the same state, and they can't even say hi. And you look at something like that, and it's really sad. And you got all the ex-ROH guys. You got, like, Spanky and London and Samoa Joe and Homicide and Punk. And, like, the list goes on when it comes to the ROH guys, and, like, they can't even, like, go out and, like, grab a beer together. Well, not saying Punk would drink. I just think it's sad that, like, they can't say hi.
Sorry to interrupt you, Trista, but I have something here that Ring of Honor, that the WWE crew is allowed to visit the Ring of Honor people.
No, I was talking about the guys that used to work for Ring of Honor and now don't, which is why the only people I mentioned were people that now work for TNA that worked for Ring of Honor or WWE.
Ah, good point. And, D2?
I'm not D2, but I'm Lucas.
Oh, Lucas, sorry.
Anywho, yeah, I would see it working more if it was just for last night because it was the live show and then you could have, like, the shit hanging the fan as with the Robbie McAllister deal. But, like, tonight or even, well, I guess not Saturday because it's the Hall of Fame show, but even tonight we have the ROH show going on and you have a TNA taping going on, both in Orlando, and guys like Punk and London and Kendrick, as Trista mentioned, want to go see their buddies like Joe and Homicide and AJ and Daniels and Shelley and whatnot. Not Daniels, I mean Curry Man. Guys like that, and you want to go see them, you don't have a chance to that often, and then you're not allowed to do that. I think that's kind of stupid on their part, but at the same time, I can see why Vince would not want to because competition-wise, but realistically, I think he should allow them to go out and see their buddies.
Yeah, however, Ring of Honor, isn't it weird that Ring of Honor's, we're going to have all three big factions going, Ring of Honor, TNA, and WWE going this weekend?
I'm
incredible.
So jealous of the state of Florida right now. It's insane.
I'm having this wonderful little daydream of the three companies just getting together and having a Wrestle Olympics.
And
that
Ring
would cause
of
my
Honor
head
to win.
Explode.
And speaking of Ring of Honor, another event that they'll probably win at, Hi-Li! Why do you say Hi-Li, Robert? I'll tell you why I say Hi-Li, my friend. Because over this past week, Ring of Honor... I'm serious. The Ring of Honor Fan Fest just took place. And where did it take place, you ask? Orlando Hi-Li. They saw Ring of Honor's best try their hands at the competitive sport known as Hi-Li. They already know that they're the best in Square Circle, but how would they do at Hi-Li? Amazing. And this takes place tomorrow from noon to 3 p.m. Admission is free. They're also giving away free prizes and free highlight jerseys. Doesn't this sound like fun, Lucas?
If it involves Mark and Jay Briscoe going back 20 paces and chucking highlight balls at each other at speeds of almost 300 miles per hour, then yes, because that would sell billions of DVDs with Sweeney announcing along with Delirious on Color. Money, money, money to be made there. But yes, it probably will be a Gone show to be sure. I wish I could see it, and it must be on the ROH WrestleMania DVDs when they come out.
Trista.
I'm not sure entirely what's going on. If it's the ROH guys playing highlight, then I absolutely want to see this. Just for the guys that throw the wicked clotheslines, just to see how fast they can actually chuck that thing at possibly Mark Briscoe's head. I don't like the Briscoe's head much, but hey, you know, I think it'd be something. It'd be cool to see wrestlers out of their element and into this new sport that's not very popular here in North America, and just to see them be like, oh, let's do this, and then I can just see them chucking it at each other, and like the actual highlight players going, oh, we even have them come here. I think it'd be funny to watch, but I don't even know what the fuck they're doing there.
And Nikki.
I would like to see this as a video package. I don't want to see them actually doing the sport. I want the blooper reel when they start winging those balls at each other and at the highlight players to chase them out of the court so they can play it by their own rules. You can make so much money off of that match alone. A highlight death match, I'm there. I'm absolutely there.
It should be a competitive event. I would buy the DVD that it's on and see the epic match take place. Look at the scores. Hey, we have a tie. Lucas, you're last. So I guess, well, it's not all Canadian this time around. I'm sorry about that. Any last words?
I'm going to go play highlight with Mark and Jay Briscoe. I'll be coming back later for a concussion and a bleeding nose.
And Mark Briscoe would have more missing teeth. So we have the showdown round approaching. Hey, it's ladies' night.
Oh, and you're just biased.
Yeah, Sticky and Trista battling it out. And coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about WrestleMania. We've talked about TNA. We've talked about Ring of Honor. Let's recap next. It's showdown time! Trista and Nikki, come out swinging. First up, Money in the Bank, which hasn't been the same ever since Jeff Hardy got kicked out. But we still have seven able competitors. John Morrison, we have CM Punk, MVP, Carlito, and a host of others. How will this Money in the Bank match compare to the other Ladder of the Bank matches? You have 20 seconds to argue your agreement, then I'll play a sound, and it's the other person's time. And we start with Nikki.
Of course it's going to be very good. You've got Chris Jericho, Shelton Benjamin, and John Morrison, ladder match experts. They'll help with the other four guys make it a classic.
You still have more time.
That's all right. I think I've made my point.
Yours, Trista.
I don't know about calling John Morrison an expert when it comes to ladder matches, because I think he's done like two. But I think it's going to be a good match because I love ladder matches. And I think it's kind of good that Jeff Hardy's out of there, because now it's really unpredictable who's going to win. Because at first it was like, oh, look, it's Jeff Hardy. Clearly he's going to win. But now he's back.
Yeah, adding Jeff Hardy out there does take the unpredictability out of the argument, but it makes for a more streamlined and, in my opinion, more exciting match. Point goes to Trista. Coming up, the 4-on-4 War Games match, or Lethal Lockdown match, could very well turn out to be a 5-on-5 Lethal Lockdown match. As at the end, James Storm brutalizes Sting with a beer bottle to the back of the head. Does this actually make for a better match, Trista?
Anything with James Storms and Rhino does not make a better match. And as long as it has the guns in it, I'm good. But anything with James Storms and Rhino is a no-go, unless I get to hear James Storms' music. Yep. No guns.
Having Rhino back in the picture is great, and James Storm may add to it, but I don't think he's really going to add enough. You get 10 people in that cage, it just turns into mass confusion and chaos, which a lot of people like. I don't know if it's going to help the match at all, though.
Not sure if it helped the match, but it does make it more wild and crazy, so point goes to Nikki. Finally, something that really caught my eye. I was surfing through Ring of Honor, looking up new stuff, and I saw that Jigsaw Unmasked.
Ooh.
Look at his face. I think he probably needed to keep the mask on. Do you think he needed to keep the mask on, Nikki?
Unfortunately, I don't know enough about Jigsaw to really comment on that, but I feel that a masked wrestler should stay masked, unless you've got a really good look like Rey Mysterio or Juventud Guerrera. Huh.
I think Jigsaw totally should have kept the mask on, just because now when you look at him, he has long pants, tattoos, short hair, and he just looks like another generic wrestler, whereas at least with the mask, he still had the puzzle pieces, and he had like a unique look, even though it was with a mask, so I think it's good.
Well said, Tristan. You get the point, and you retain! They're cheering for you, Trista. 30 seconds are all yours. Go for it, starting right now.
I guess I'll take this time to say that tonight's actually going to be my last time on this show, because I'm going to do my show with Steve. And, I kind of want to put a lot of time and more thought into that, because I don't
have
to this show or anything. But, like, we have good ideas on here, but I just think with Steve and I that it was, I don't know. Tonight's going to be my last show. It's a personal reason. And yeah, I've had good times on here, and it was a nice beginning. So thanks, everyone.
Yeah. You know, I can probably get a free shot if I stick my pinky up somebody's butt.
I miss you, pinky.
And we are on that with a pinky up Trista's butt, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure.
We're heading around the horn for now, but stick around as we're going to talk about WrestleMania. We're going to have predictions.
Good.
For WrestleMania, we'll keep track of them.
You should really.
So we'll find out who's smarter.
I know. The new Hitman, it's kind of complicated. But,
Take care.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It is. Oh my God, it is. I mean, there's some aspects that are hard as hell. No, I rented it. And I
wasn't that fun, everyone?
I mean, I can get a free.
Hold on, listen to D2 discuss video games. But
somebody said
my non-knowledge of Jigsaw.
I'm sorry, what? Oh, I'm back live now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back on.
Oh, cool.
Are you talking to D?
Oh, a buddy of mine here. No, it's not one of the special guests that we're going to have on our show.
Is he hot?
One of our many special guests. No, he's not. One of our many special guests, World of Wrestling. We have three confirmed guests, and I'm not going to name any of them. It's going to be a surprise.
Well, you already told us one last week.
Only one. I've got two other ones lined up, but I'm not telling any of you, except for you, Trista. And you, Lucas.
Tell her now.
I already told her. Everyone
told
else, let's find out when it's.
Damn it.
I'll tell you later, Nikki.
Okay.
I can't leave
you. And then she left her palace of wisdom in her sociology class.
Yes, but I have the palace of wisdom playset, so I can actually find that sociology classroom.
It is
at that's just weird.
College. Friday, 12:30 to 2. Lecture hall,
right.
C 121. There you go. I'll be in the back row watching wrestling.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to call in on the madness. The number is 1-646-716-9678. And now we get into the fun stuff.
Put in wrestling?
WrestleMania predictions.
I'd much rather have put in wrestling. It'll be a lot more fun. Guarantee it.
Exactly.
That was dead air. That was weird.
As I look up on the thing, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 matches.
Just remember,
nine matches we're
going to
predict. Yes, we're also going to do predictions for the Battle Royale.
Shut up.
And that should be fun for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Fun for masses.
Yes.
The masses of
masses. Massive amount of people. However, we will not do predictions for the Battle Royale since it's not technically on the pay-per-view. And plus, I can only fit 8 matches onto one card. Onto one index card when I write everything down. So we'll just skip that.
An index card?
Yeah, I write stuff down on index cards.
Well, there is a back to it, so you can write more stuff on the back.
Right.
So, moving on.
Careful, he controls the mute button.
I'll just start doing
actually,
that.
Actually,
Everybody.
Actually, there is 9 matches on there because the 24-man battle royal immediately goes to face the ECW champion. So we'll start with the ECW title match. Does Chavo retain?
Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. Because if
let's start with the winner of Around the Horn, Trista.
Who cares?
I'm actually going to let Dee go because he was in the middle of talking, so I'll wait until my turn, and then Dee can finish what he was going to say.
Okay,
Dee
too.
All right, here's how I see this going, because if what I've read so far is true, Robbie wasn't the only person at the TNA show, because apparently Chavo was backstage as well.
Uh-oh.
I see Chavo dropping the strap, hopefully, of all people, to Colin Delaney.
Trista?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see Colin Delaney win the ECW title at his first WrestleMania. And if Chavo, I read that he was back visiting his school, I think it is, Hector Guerrero that works there. So I don't think that's a good enough for him to be visiting if it's even call it an excuse. So yeah, I'll go with Colin Delaney for this one as well.
Those
short guys, I can't.
Nikki?
I see Chavo dropping it. I just, I can't see him dropping it to Colin. I like the story that they're doing with him, but it's just, I'm just not feeling it. The problem is I can't figure out who Chavo would drop it to. I'm not interested unless it's going to be Tommy Dreamer or Shane, and I don't see either one of those happening.
And Lucas.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the card itself, a lot of guys were missing. Like I said, Stevie wasn't on, London wasn't on, guys like that. So I was surprised that even Santino, who I figured could have had a shot as well. Like D2 and Trista both said, though, I want Colin Delaney with the belt so I can start marking like a Shikarmi member. But he isn't on the actual, quote, participants list, so I won't pick him to win. Oh, screw it. Yeah, I'll pick Colin to win in an amazing 5-minute match over Chavo.
I see Chavo dropping the belt, but I don't see him dropping it to Colin Delaney, at least not right now. You want to know who I see winning the belt?
Mark Henry?
Mike Knox?
Some big fat guy?
Stevie Richards?
I'll show you! You see! Yeah, I see Stevie winning it.
Yay!
I don't even know who's all in the Battle Royal except for all the giant guys. And Holly.
I can't find the picture.
This is off of Wiki, so take this with a grain of salt. I have, on Wikipedia, it says Burke, Cade, Deuce and Domino, Dreamer, Duggan, Festus, Colley, Henry, Hardcore Holly, Jesse, Kane, Kendrick, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, Shannon Moore, Murdoch, Noble, Plumbo, Rhodes, Snitsky, Stryker, Venus, and Gang.
And Moscow and Quackenbush, Aries is supposed to make an appearance. I got this off all Wikipedia, too.
Oh, man, in that case, I'm pretty delirious.
Yeah, delirious
wins
it all.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Delirious Curry Man Mike battle.
Yes.
Konnichiwa.
I just lost my own palace of wisdom right there.
Now let's talk about a good old-fashioned, who the hell am I kidding? Bunny Mania Lumberjack match. Ashley Maria versus the Glamazon and Melina. Yawn is all I have to say about this. So, do you even care?
It's still worth points. Go, Trista.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
You know what I don't want to see at WrestleMania? Not this match, because I think it's a fucking waste of time.
All right, well, just for the purpose of scoring, who wins?
Ashley and Maria.
Yay for teamwork rate.
They just would. I think it's bullshit that they even are on the card in the first place, and I would totally rather see Beth Phoenix against, like, Mickie James or some shit like that. But, yeah, I hate this match with all my heart and all my smark-loving things.
Nikki?
I'm unfortunately with Trista. The Bunnies are going to win it. This is a feel-good Divas match. Doesn't really do anything for me, and not even Snoop Dogg's going to be able to save that, even if he came out dressed as Huggy from Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, that was brilliant right there. He was good as Huggy Bear in Starsky and Hutch. How about you, D2?
I was actually in the middle of another phone call. What are we talking about now?
Bunny Mania, who wins?
Nobody wins. I mean, it's a waste of the card. I mean, last year, it's a piss break. That's all this match is a piss break. And it has Snoop Dogg. So it's a piss break with Snoop Dogg in the background.
Well, who wins the match?
Who's going to win the match, Jim?
Everyone.
Everyone. The whore that was in Playboy this time. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a real match.
Lucas.
If I was going to do it jokingly, Kim Kardashian swerves us all and wins the match. But, yeah, it's going to be Maria and Ashley. And like everybody says, it's going to be a piss break like last year's. Last year's match was the deadest crowd I think I've seen ever. Well, besides the Orlando Impact taking, so that's besides the point.
The only thing good, there were a few things good about last year's WrestleMania. One, Nikki was there.
I'm not a diva.
No, well, you're in the audience. That's close enough.
Oh, yeah.
Two, they're dressed as the blue beanie. That's enough as it is.
Where were you sitting?
Yeah. I had an upper-level seat.
Okay. I was down on the floor. If you look in if you watch Undertaker's match, when he's going back up the ramp, you'll see my 15-0 sign.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
The day before
MVP's entrance. MVP's entrance with all the cheerleaders and everything.
That was beautiful.
Lord.
MVP is amazing.
Yes, MVP is. MVP is amazing. However, for the match, yes, I'm going to go. You know what? I'm going to dare to be different. I'm going to pick the Glamazon and Melina. Remember last year, Melina won.
Remember last year, Melina was against Ashley.
I remember last year, none of the Lumberjills were involved.
Until the end of the match. Piss poor booking galore.
Thank you.
Right. Finlay versus JBL in a Belfast brawl. Remind you of anything?
Not really. I forgot this match even existed. I'll go with Finlay. He's Irish, and I'm Irish, so I'll stick
with
him.
Irish.
I'm very
Irish. Hey, the lucky Irish be with you, and we go to Nikki right now. Nikki, who do you see winning the match?
I think the fans are going to win this match because this is going to be such a wonderful, stiff, bloody, messy brawl. I'm actually looking forward to this match. All I can think of is Cena and JBL and their I Quit match from Judgment Day a couple of years ago.
Ooh, that was brutal.
And seeing a lot of that, and I think Finley's going to walk away with it with a smile on his face and blood in his hair.
And horns.
The way any Irishman should. What do you, D2?
Now, have we decided what the actual rules for this Belfast Brawl are going to be? Because every Belfast Brawl we've done has a set of rules that they know and announce. I mean, the one that he had with Kali ended because Kali was bleeding. The other one he had ended because he just started beating someone with a shillelagh and, like, pinned him or something. I mean, when we get a set rules, it might be interesting. But unless this ends in a bar somewhere, I'm going to be disappointed. It's Irish and it's JBL. Unless this ends up as a Belfast brawl into a barroom brawl, I'm going to be disappointed.
And Lucas.
Yeah, this could potentially be a card stealer or up near the top of the best match of the night. I think it's going to end up being Finlay will win, mainly because I figure this will be the grand return of Hornswoggle at the very end.
Yay, Horny! Yay, Guinness, to make me forget about this match. Ugh. Not forget about the match, but forget about Hornswoggle. Finlay wins, JBL gets bloodied, everybody wins.
Yay!
You know what they really needed to do? They need to have JBL have a headset during all his matches that he wrestles in so he can announce his matches. It would be gold.
It'd be like SmackDown vs. Raw 2008.
Oh, good
one
God.
One line from hell! Okay, Mangle!
As soon as JBL hits him with a chair, Stunner! Crap.
I gotta mention when my brother got the new SmackDown Raw, and JBL could sound so more haphazard announcing.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, because the game sucked.
My Fire Pro, kids.
Oh,
SmackDown versus Raw. Batista versus Umanga. Or Umanga. Or, how does William Regal say it again?
Umanga.
You said it right, Umanga.
Umanga.
Umanga. Who wins? And we'll start with Lucas.
This is a pretty good question. I think what we're going to see is, I say Umanga will win, because I think this will help him get his push towards when he goes to SmackDown, because apparently he's going to be getting a good main event push when he goes to there this summer. So I think this will push him towards in that regard to leading to that.
D2?
But this could really go either way.
D2?
Umanga with the win. I mean, it'll be back and forth. It'll be, hey, look, I'm a big guy. Hey, look, you're a big guy. Let's do big guy things. Eventually, Batista's going to win. Umaga's going to sell it like he sold the chair shot from JBL. Just look at him like he's an idiot and then chase him around for a little while, flailing his arms wildly like a savage. And it ends three spikes. And maybe two Batista bombs, then into the three spikes.
And we go to Nikki.
I'm liking his scenario. They're going to be kicking at each other's finishers. They're going to be screaming and roaring and posing at each other. Ooh. Umaga would not be hurt if he lost to Batista. I'm going to be the odd man out here and say Dave wins. It's going to take a lot for him to put Umaga down.
And Trista.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to this match, and I haven't been, like, excited to see a Batista match in WrestleMania 21, so it's pretty cool. But, I don't know, I really don't kind of care who wins this match, because I'm really looking forward to see it, and I have a feeling it's going to be, like, a decent match with two big men. I'd like to see Umaga win it, but I won't be surprised if Batista wins. But either way, I'll be totally cool with it, so good job, Booking.
I'm going to pick Batista to win. It's WrestleMania, and the faces normally always win. And speaking of where the line has been blurred between faces and heels, Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels in a career-threatening match. Which means it'll probably be his last match, the way I see it. Who wins, Trista?
I want to say Ric Flair so bad because it's Shawn Michaels, but I'm going to have to say Michaels if the rumors are true. But I don't want them to be. Oh, that's a tough decision. I'm going to go with Michaels Flair.
Nikki?
I would love to see Ric Flair never retire. I mean, I'm one of the people who is usually the one complaining about older guys. I really think this is going to be one. This is going to be another one of those matches that's going to surprise some people because Flair's not going to be going through the motion, while Michaels really sucks at trying to be a heel anymore because he's so adamant about being one. He's really going to let us have it when we see it at WrestleMania. Michaels takes it, but those two shake hands after the match is over. They shake hands, they embrace. And Michaels will bow and worship Flair all the way to the back, even if they're lost.
Who do you see winning?
I'm still gonna say Michaels, but it's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna
Me
be
too.
A tearjerker.
D2.
D2, you there?
Guess now let's go to Lucas.
Well, this is hard because I've heard a buddy of mine here had a good idea suggesting that Flair wins, then says at the end, even, I've done all I needed to do and just walked out his own man, or even have him lose on Monday night or something to like a young guy or whatever. But, yeah, I just can't see that happening. I'm going to have to go with HBK like everybody else says just because everybody's having him retiring at Mania. I would love for him to win, Flair win, and retire maybe on Raw, helping a young guy get over, but yeah, I'm going to have to go with HBK.
D2, are you there now? D2?
Skip
Guess
him.
Not. I'm going to say Flair. I'm not going to say Flair. I'm going to say Michaels wins. Flair retires at the grandest stage of all WrestleMania. And, they embrace. It's a very surreal moment, and that's it.
I think I have a feeling I'm going to be. I'll have to watch this match with like a box of Kleenex. I just feel like I'm going to get all emotional during it.
Me too.
I get so emotional, baby.
I do. I cry at the stupidest things.
Did you cry? Did you cry when Optimus Prime died?
I don't remember him dying. Like, it's all I hear about, and I'm like, I never really watched Transformers, so...
Okay, did you cry when Roy Fokker died in Robotech?
I didn't watch that either.
Did you cry when Reboot got
canceled?
Did you cry when Reboot got canceled?
I didn't watch Reboot.
I didn't.
I cried when I watched The Notebook. I still cry when I watch The Notebook. In A League of Their Own, I cry at the same parts for both those movies.
There's no crying in baseball or wrestling.
Well, when someone's husband gets drafted to World War II and then his wife is playing baseball and then she finds out that he dies in a locker room while she's trying to get ready for a game, I think that deserves a couple of tears, especially because it wasn't Gina Davis. It was someone. It was Betty Spaghetti. So, you know.
All right.
Madonna's character.
Kind of my favorite movie.
It's cool.
It is a really good movie. I got to pick that up on DVD. And speaking of stuff that is DVD worthy, why not put all of the Money in the Bank ladder matches on DVD?
It would just be like the ladder match DVD, then. We already have one of those, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
What they could do is have, I think it was on WrestleMania 2000 DVD, had the Angle, Jericho, and Benoit match. Each of them had their own DVD commentary track. That's what you should do with the Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Have all the participants on there doing commentary. I'd like that.
And
that's
on,
that
note,
to...
on that note, we are going to do our predictions for Money in the Bank. Let me get the list of the... Damn.
I have it right here.
Well, Ron Simmons is not in there.
No.
No, I accidentally hit refresh. Okay. Ladder match is Morrison, Punk, Carlito, Benjamin, Kennedy, MVP, Chris Jericho. Who do you see winning? Trista.
I'm torn between this one because, you know, Jeff Hardy was clearly supposed to take it. But then, like, he's out. And then, like, when you look at the competitors, like, you have, like, veterans in there from previous Money in the Bank matches. Like, Punk's been in there. Jericho's been in there. And then you have other guys who are good at a lot of matches, like John Morrison. But then you have guys that deserve a title shot, like MVP. And it's just such, like, a mixed bag of who could win and who you want to win. And I'm torn between MVP and Punk.
Mm.
But I'm going to have to go with MVP because I have, I don't know, I just really like him lately. I've been really watching him on SmackDown. So, and, you know, ECW isn't on until, like, another 50 minutes here, so I don't even know what happened this week. But, yeah, I'm going to go with MVP, hopefully, for this one because I don't like Kennedy either.
Nikki?
Five heels, two faces. So that narrows my list down pretty quickly. I don't see MVP winning only because since we have an odd number of people, that leaves the door open for another illustrious party to sneak in and really spoil things for Mr. Porter. I'm just gonna go with my little daydream. I see a face winning Money in the Bank. I see that face being the originator of Money in the Bank, Chris Jericho. And I would love him to take that with him and the Intercontinental title, and we go through the same little hoops that we did with RVD a couple of years ago with him running around with the briefcase and the belt. I'm all for that.
And before he wins the big belt, he loses the little belt.
Exactly.
D2, are you alive? No, he's not. Lucas.
This one, like Trista said, early on it looked like it was going to be Jeff winning it all, and then now you have no earthly idea. I think Matt will show up and cost MVP the match. I would love Jericho to win, but I'm going to go with the man who I rode the horse on last year, and it almost worked out! Ah! CM Punk. It'll be great if he wins. I'll mark out like a little girl, and then that'll be it. The night will be over. Nothing will top it for me.
Except Roderick Strong winning
Don't tease!
Yes, somebody please take the belt off of Nigel McGuinness.
Anyone but Roderick Strong can take the belt.
Stop!
Off of Nigel McGuinness.
You'll see, Tristan. You'll
Roderick
come around.
Strong, what?
I apparently have a man crush on Roderick Strong.
He looks like a 14-year-old.
Yeah, but he's got a thing. Lucas has a thing for backbreakers.
And amazing promo skills.
He looks like a little kid. Somebody asked me who the fan was. I took my picture with at the ROH show.
He looks like one of those really preppy, like, fat boys that does, like, keg stands on, like, a Wednesday night just because...
okay, new idea. On the Highlight DVD, they want Roderick Strong keg stand parties. With the NRC, that would be gold.
Why couldn't they do this at the Highlight in my hometown?
And Bobby Dempsey actually gets it on with Allison Danger.
Oh, no.
Do we really want that, though?
That's an Easter egg.
No. It's all consensual and everything. Allison fawns over Bobby Dempsey, and then Bobby shuts the door. 10 minutes later...
I have a crush on Bobby Dempsey. I have no problem admitting that.
Floyd Mayweather versus Big Show.
Well, hold on. Who do you have winning Money in the Bank?
Who do I have winning Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
Too late. Already changed topics.
I'm going to go with the dark horse in this one. I'm going to say John Morrison wins.
That'd be sick, actually.
You're just blinded by his abs.
Huh?
You're blinded by his abs.
I am. I
aren't we all?
I understand. I'm blinded by his abs. Oh.
Everybody's blinded by his abs. I'm also blinded by the Palace of Wisdom. Whatever
have
that means.
Have you seen his ab workout, Nikki?
No, I have not.
Are you serious?
I just see the results. I don't care how he got them.
Oh, my God. It is intense. Like, you like when you watch it, you'll be like, oh, ow. Like, it's, oh, my God. It's so intense. It's so sexy looking. But, yeah, wow.
Okay, Chrissy, you're going to kill me. I watch that workout, then I go back and watch RVD TV Waves of Zen, watching RVD do his entire stretch routine while spouting Zen philosophy. You guys will have to send somebody to come get me.
This ab workout is insane. Has anyone else seen it? I have it, like, bookmarked.
You'll have to send it to me later.
Me too. Especially for the Van Damme lift, right, Nikki?
Oh.
Good. Oh, man. That's,
kill me.
That would kill me.
Kill me now. I would die a happy woman.
Floyd Money Mayweather versus the Big Show. How bad does Mayweather get killed? Trista?
I'm not sure where they want to go with this. I'll say Big Show just because he's, like, friggin' huge. But I don't know. I don't even know what they're doing to this match. I don't know if it's... What was it? It was, like, No Holds Barred or something like that?
No Holds Barred per the crawl that they ran on SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, we don't get SmackDown until, like, another hour or some shit like that because it's stupid March Madness. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I'll go with Big Show, I guess. Put the company guy over. I'm done. Hello?
Oh, Nikki.
Well, this is my potty break match. I'm sorry. I was very disappointed at 23 because when we watched Trump out there, he didn't do a bloody thing. He did a clothesline and not a very good one at that. I'm kind of worried. Like I said, I've said through the show that I'm very worried about this match. Since it is No Holds Barred, that means Mayweather's posse is going to get involved. Now, hopefully Big Show will know to bring a few friends of his own. And we've already seen what's happened with that once. So, I hope everything is properly prepared. I really want to see Show go over, and I want him to make it look like they have to carry Mayweather out on a stretcher.
D2?
I think he's gone.
I think he's dead in a pile of wings.
I told him before when we did the show, don't eat too many wings, you'll get a heart attack, especially at Buffalo Wild Wings, Lucas.
We don't get those here. I should go to one sometime when I go to the States. Like I mentioned earlier, this is the most interesting thing on the night because I'm not really sure how they're going to book this, especially when you got Floyd's posse involved and Show's going to be involved. If we get a Matt Sydal cameo, that'd be great. But I'm going to say, since I believe, I hope this is how they're still booking it, that Floyd's going to be the heel going in as the outsider, that they'll have Show go over here, which will make everybody happy. And Floyd will go on and fight De La Hoya again in a few months' time and make more money.
And lose to De La Hoya. Thus, I'm picking the Giant.
What's going on?
I don't know.
I'm picking the Giant. I'm picking Big Show.
Okay.
Second to last match, Edge versus Taker, streak versus very long streak.
Streak versus better streak.
Yes. And Sean Collin. Lucas?
Oh, dear, you have me go first. Ah! Yeah, I'm not... Oh, boy. Again, I could see Edge both going over, and I could see Taker going over. This is going to be, in my opinion, the match I'm most looking forward to on this show, besides Money in the Bank and hopefully a Colin Delaney cameo. But, yes, Edge, this is going to go either way for me. I'm having a hard time deciding. I think what they're going to do, if... As much as I would love Edge to win, I'd mark out even more than Roderick Strong title win. It'll probably end up being Taker winning because it's going to lead to the Taker gets the long title run that he was going to get last year but didn't because of the injury.
Nikki?
I'm unfortunately in the same boat. I would absolutely lose my ever-loving mind if Edge actually beat Undertaker. And I think that'd be kind of cool and kind of poetic since Edge worked with him, worked under him in the ministry so many years ago. I don't see it happening, even though Undertaker has the momentum after what he did to Edge and the clones at the end of SmackDown this week. I'll try not to spoil it. Edge will have help from the clones, but that's not going to be enough. And actually, I'm praying for some real-time special effects during Undertaker's entrance. They are saying rain and a little real thunder and lightning to give Edge, make Edge piss his pants.
Krista?
Of course I want to see Edge win this, right? Because I picked Edge to win the Royal Rumble, and he wasn't even in that. Like, I just want to see him succeed and do well. And, you know, making it to WrestleMania against The Undertaker is friggin' insane. But I would like to see The Undertaker win as well, because as much as I love Edge, I don't think he should be the one to cut off Taker's streak at WrestleMania. But at the same time, I love Edge. So... I'm going to go with The Undertaker because I really want to see him continue his streak, but well, I'm still cheering Edge like I always do.
I hear D2.
Edge is going to die, guaranteed.
Okay, you have some spaces to fill in.
What?
Some Mania matches to fill in.
I feel I was in Sunday. It's going to be a big surprise.
Okay, we'll get them on Sunday? Okay.
My show. 5 p.m. start time. WorldTalkRadio.com/DTA Radio.
Show.
It works. I haven't been on a show before. D2, out of curiosity, who do you have winning between Edge and Taker?
Like I said, Edge is going to die. Taker's going to win 16-0. Actually, here's how I see this happening. I see it going down 16-1. I'm putting a guarantee out there. It's going to be 16-1 at the end of WrestleMania.
16-1?
16-1. That's how the streak is. Kenny's going to do what he said he was going to do.
Oh, MVP.
Kennedy's going to get Money in the Bank, cash it in, take or lose. And then they carry him out in some weird, like, coffin thingy. Shaped like a
I got Taker winning at WrestleMania as well. And now we get to the big one. Mr. Robot versus Gonad the Barbarian versus John Cena.
Hey.
Everybody loves Gonad the Barbarian.
Gonad?
Oh,
Conan.
Yeah, Gonad the Barbarian.
Dude.
Ah, beautiful mood music.
Yeah,
sounds like White Noise on a Velvet Underground record.
Yeah.
Yeah, it pretty much is. That's what happens when you go to a meetup and they play shitty music.
Right. Who wins the belt? D2.
Gonad.
Lucas.
I've had him the last three WrestleManias, not counting last year. I'm going to see him again. H finally gets the belt again here.
Nikki.
My money's on the evil dot. Cena can't win three WrestleManias in a row. I just can't see it. I want it on Hunter. I really want it on Hunter.
And Trista?
I can't hear anything. Right,
yeah, I can't hear anything either. Yeah, it's kind of hard to hear everything, too.
There, it's gone.
There you go.
And look, me too went away.
That's his own fault. Clear the line so Sean can come in.
I know you've been telling me he's been trying, but did you get him? I'll do the number again. 1-646-716-9678.
That's what I'm telling him, and he says that every time he tries, it says that that it's unavailable at this time.
Hang up on Lucas.
Oh, come on now.
No.
That's not nice. He says he doesn't know what's going on. It's not working. He's been trying every 2 minutes.
Okay, and Trista, who do you have winning?
I think I have Cena.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I actually have Edge, but I'll go.
No.
Yeah.
You can't do that, dear.
He wins everything, damn it. But, yeah.
He's going to win everything forever.
Exactly. You know how much power thirst he drinks? But, yeah, I'll go with Cena. Yep.
Now, if point of order.
Yeah.
I'm not changing my vote. I still want Trips to win, but I'm gonna have my little daydream scenario: Orton retains, and Chris Jericho walks out with the briefcase and saves WrestleMania.
That would be great. Will they do it though? Probably not.
That's why.
Can you imagine that's how WrestleMania actually ends? Like, he walks out with the briefcase and everyone goes wild, and then it's like WWE credits, and then that's it.
No!
The greatest bait and switch ever.
Isn't that right, Nikki? That'd be a schmoz button?
No, that's not a schmoz button. That's a cliffhanger. That's not fair. That's just not fair. Jericho comes out with the briefcase, and they say goodnight. No,
right. That's like, didn't that happen on like a Starrcade or some WCW view? It was DDP and Goldberg, and then they cut away because the match went too long?
Halloween Havoc 98.
Ah, that's right. It was when they had the amazing Warrior and Hogan match.
Blame that match. That match went for about 20 minutes too long, and it only went
it
for about 15.
All right, who takes the big one there, R?
I say the evil Dr. Levesque wins.
Yay! Triple H.
Jim Neidhart?
No, the evil Dr. Levesque. The mad genius of WWE, I mean, the cerebral assassin. I've been muted.
Or Trips.
Him too.
And now we get to another favorite part of the show. Spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. Hold on. We have an actual spring cleaning theme.
Coming up on my door.
Damn,
oh,
it's not
man.
Up on YouTube.
Oh, I wasn't ready for that Three's Company reference.
First thing I thought of, I don't even know why. I think it's because we were talking about Suzanne Summers and Sush today. That might be it.
Darn, I was going to have... I was going to have the Rocco's Modern Life spring cleaning song playing.
Ooh, a Rocco's Modern Life reference, even better.
I love that show.
What show?
Rocco's Modern Life. It's a Nicktoon.
I missed it.
Do we get that in Canada, Luke?
We used to on YTV like 10 years ago. I don't know if we still do.
It's on the Nicktoon Network, various spots.
Yeah, we don't get that here. No. Not even on my
dish. You can't do that on television. Thank you.
For Dave today. You have no idea how amazing it was.
Do you guys get reruns of Uh-Oh up there? The old Canadian kids game show?
I forgot that dude.
What?
The guy that does Uh-Oh, my brother, met him because he has, a speaker for his class. And then, the chick on there, Samantha, is that her name?
He met Wink Yahoo?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, the chick on there is, his teacher in some media class he's in. I'm taking that course next week, too, I guess. Got to do it.
Okay, that's just awesome.
And we have a new... Hold on, I forgot to play the sound when the number popped up, so I'll play it right now.
Yay,
and I say, hello.
Good evening, everybody.
There you are.
You have no idea. Nobody has an idea how hard and how long it took me to actually finally get through. I have
you
no
sound
idea
blown
what's
up.
Going on. Yes, I'm blown up laying on a canvas because it took me almost a half an hour to get through.
You weren't working with Steiner, were you?
No, I wasn't working with Steiner. I guarantee I wasn't working with Steiner because I wouldn't, I wouldn't take the Frankensteiner, so, It's a little on the unsafe side, not going to lie.
Or you could be, it could be Rick Steiner. You could just take a bulldog.
I could do that.
When your mom can come in and, work with you, that'd be cool. Your mom is cool.
Well, actually, this is referee Sean Matthews, ladies and gentlemen, famous referee on the mid-northwestern independence, mainly doing Ohio and Illinois, Indiana, and all those good places. Is that right?
Yes, Ohio, Kentucky. Actually, Illinois, I'll be making my debut in Illinois in late April. I just signed with Heartland Wrestling Association to work in Peoria.
Ooh, I heard about Heartland Wrestling Association. Good pull.
Yes, we'll be doing a double shot last weekend of April, Friday in Cincinnati, Saturday in West Peoria. So, BJ Whitmer, Nigel McGuinness, names like that.
And hopefully Nigel sans Ring of Honor belt.
I think it will. From what I've heard, I don't think he's dropping the strap this weekend or in 2 weeks. So, hopefully.
You didn't pick him, did you? We have
him to
win, right?
Oh, I've got him to win, yeah.
Okay.
I've got him to win. Hopefully, we're in talks right now with Ring of Honor. The word coming down from HWA is that if Nigel retains the next couple of shows, that ROH is actually going to let us sanction a Ring of Honor title match with HWA.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the word coming down from Gabe and Dave Prazak, is that there is talk that they might be able to sanction us a Ring of Honor title match. So the main event for Cincinnati, they have not booked the main event for Peoria, but the main event for Cincinnati is going to be ROH champion Nigel McGuinness as of now against HWA champion BJ Whitmer, who also works at Ring of Honor. So that's where they're thinking about maybe sanctioning an ROH title match.
And it'd be kind of odd because BJ Whitmer is no longer with the company.
That's not entirely true. BJ has actually opted to take some time off for some nagging injuries. So it's not really an entirely true story. I've actually had a conversation with BJ a couple of weeks ago myself because BJ actually is in – when we're not in the ring, BJ's my GNC guy. So I've actually had some conversation with him. He's just got some nagging injuries right now and is going to be taking some time off.
I see.
So, and then we'll be coming back hopefully probably towards fall. So,
nice.
Yes. So what were we talking about before?
We are talking about spring cleaning.
Spring cleaning.
who's getting released from WWE so they can put on another batch of horror content.
Yes. Rory McAllister as of last night.
That's Robbie.
That's Robbie.
Sorry. Rory's the one who's injured. My apologies. Let's be honest. For anybody who did watch TNA last night, as a WWE talent, a contracted talent, you don't show up on the talent's product. You don't do something like that. Come on. You know? I just...
Well, did you look at the picture of him? He was like this. Oh, my God. Maybe I shouldn't have broken the rules.
Yeah.
He was bored as hell.
He had that incognito sort of look like, hey, I'm trying to blend in even though I'm on WWE every week.
He was just sad that Cray Man was in a dark match. He was so disappointed.
So I'm pretty much, and I will put money on it, but this time next week, when this show is going on next week, he will be released from WWE. I'm willing to bet money on it. I will bet anybody money that he will be released by this next week. People have done less and have gotten released for less.
That's true. Look at Primetime did. I was like, just a small
room. Look at Rhino. Yeah.
What did Rhino do to get released?
Okay.
Flower pot.
Yeah, he's technically. Okay, here's the story. For those who haven't seen the RS shoot video, in my conversations with Rhino, Rhino at WrestleMania 21 to that time was going through a divorce. His wife, Amelia, is from Germany originally. Her family is from Germany. And at that time, they were getting ready to finalize the divorce. Rhino was trying to be nice. Amelia had always wanted to come to Los Angeles, so the thought process with him was, okay, I'll bring her out to Los Angeles, she'll have fun, come out for WrestleMania, we'll sign the paperwork, we'll get it done, we'll move on. Because they do have a 4-year-old daughter, Kiara, to deal with. So, you know, the relationship between them is not over, at least in the sense, it's over in the sense of marriage, obviously. But the big standing issue at that time was, okay, I'm a contracted talent with WWE. I'm on the road 300 weeks a year, or 300 days a year, I'm sorry, and I have a 4-year-old daughter. I can't contest custody, you know, because I'm not going to get it because I'm on the road so much due to the nature of my job. But yet, Amelia wanted to move back to Germany with his daughter. So it's basically the point, okay, do I want to fight and lose the fight, or do I want to be amicable about everything and let him go to Germany? Either way, I'm losing my daughter, who's the closest to me. And that's kind of what tore Rhino apart, personally. So pretty much what it was is he had had a few drinks, and essentially him and Amelia got into an argument, and in the heat of the moment, he threw a flower pot down on the floor and broke it. Now, here's where he got in trouble. He did it in the lobby of the hotel room of the TV hotel at the WrestleMania post-party.
Uh-oh.
That's what did him in. He got sent home the next day, released 1 week later. That's what it is. So, yeah, there was never any ill will or ill feelings toward Rhino on WB's end, and there's no ill feelings toward WB on Rhino's end of things. It's just, you know, it happened. So people have gotten released for less.
I see.
So,
and now we talked about spring cleaning, and we all talked about before the show that the Highlanders will probably get released, but
they could probably do something with Rory, to be honest with you. I don't think Rory deserves to get caught in the cross on this. Robbie made the mistake. You know, Robbie made the mistake knowing that Vincent already said, do not go to the other company. So, you know, coming from a standpoint of being in the business, I don't think Rory is going to get released for a screw-up on Robbie's end. They might try to repackage Rory and do something else with him when he comes back from injury, but I wouldn't look to see Rory being released so quickly. Robbie's gone. I mean, I'm going to be thoroughly surprised. He's already been sent home today. He was sent home today from Orlando. He's not even in Orlando anymore.
He got sent home today?
He got sent home today, and he will not be participating in WrestleMania 24 like he was going to be participating anyway. He wasn't even on the card, nor was he scheduled to be part of the Battle Royal that will take place on WWE.com before WrestleMania tomorrow night.
He was just there probably just to be there.
Yes, he was essentially being there for the sake of being there.
So for him, this was a it was a no-lose situation for him just to go see a TNA show. However, what are the odds that he would not have gotten in trouble if he went to, say, the Ring of Honor show?
You never know. He's still basically the thing that Vince was making. I think Vince doesn't even recognize ROH. Let's be honest. I don't even think he does. I think Vince might have not gone might not be going to as drastic as an extreme as he is now if it was ROH. But let's be honest. He still might have heat for going to an ROH show because ROH does do pay-per-view. I think they might be taping one or two of the matches over the next couple of days for pay-per-view, for their next pay-per-view to debut in May on In Demand. But every show of theirs is not like TNA where they've got big national exposure or big worldwide exposure. So, you know, we can always throw around the speculation, okay, maybe he wouldn't have as much heat on him if he went to an ROH show, you know? I just want to know from Robbie, sorry, from Robbie, what is your method of thinking when Vince had made it very clear that you do not converse with the other brand? I think it's screwed up of Vince to be going down that route. For those of you who have not read the sheets this week or don't know anybody, haven't talked to anybody down there, Vince has gone out of his way to essentially screw TNA over. Good example. There are about three hotels within a mile of Universal Studios that TNA stays out of every time they do TV. I would know. I've been down to a couple of those hotels when I've gone to TV for TNA. There's a DoubleTree, a Holiday Inn Express, and there's a third hotel. I forget the name of it. They're all down. They're literally a three-minute drive from the building. Vince went out of his way and booked all three of those hotels. The DoubleTree specifically is where he's putting all the ticket package holders, the travel package holders. All the travel package holders are staying at the DoubleTree this weekend, and all the autograph signing stuff are going on there. So the people that who are staying at those hotels, like Kevin Nash, Kurt Angle, all those guys, are now having to stay at the airport, down by the airport, which is about a 30-minute drive. 20 to 30 minutes, depending on traffic, from the airport to Universal Studios. Dollar-wise, it's about a $40 cab ride. I should know.
So, okay, we have some breaking TNA news.
Okay.
Oh.
Spoilers just came through for next week. It is confirmed it is 5-on-5 for Lethal Lockdown.
Oh, good.
James Storm is the fifth member for Team Tomko.
Who's the fifth for Team Cage?
Matt Morgan.
What?
Really?
Here comes the push.
Yeah, the push
they
comes
for a while.
It goes to American Gladiators. Lovely.
Well, you can go down that route, but honestly, they've been trying to get Matt Morgan on TV for months now, and they haven't had a good storyline to get him into, so I think it's just a good starting point for him. And look at the talent he's around in that 10-man cage match. Let's be honest, there's multiple options they could go with to try to put Matt Morgan over. You know, having him squash James Storm after lockdown would be a good example of a starting gimmick for him. So I don't expect to see a whole lot out of him in the cage. I'll say that much. He won't be involved in the fall, or he won't be involved in anything. I can pretty much guarantee that.
But what are the odds, Trista? Are you still there?
I'm right here.
You've seen Matt Morgan's work, right?
Yeah, I've seen some of it. I think he's, I don't know, he's got a good look to him. He's pretty cool.
Do you think he'll be a good fit for the match?
I don't even know who's in it.
What we have in it right now is for Team Tomko, it's AJ, Tomko, Team 3D, and Cowboy James Storm. Taking on Cage, Nash, Rhino, Sting, and Matt Morgan.
I think I like Christian's team. Yep, I like Christian's team.
It almost feels to me that he feels, it almost like he's complacent in that 10 man, in that group of 10. You know what I mean? Can anybody agree with me on that? He almost feels like Matt Morgan's almost, not complacent in that group 10.
I don't think you're using that word right.
I don't think he fits per se. He just seems out of nowhere. Like, hey, let's put him in there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Now I see what you're saying. Misplaced is the word you want.
Yes, misplacing. Okay, non-complacent, misplacent, however you want to put it. I don't know. I guess, they feel they need to do that for the American Gladiators thing. But honestly, though, I have heard some good things about Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan has done a lot of work over in Japan with New Japan, where they like TNA like to send their guys ritually over there. And he's done some good work over there, but we honestly have yet to see him in a ring here in TNA. So, that only holds so much weight.
Two things I want to add about Morgan and about this in general. First off, on Morgan, Cornette's said to be really, really high on him. So I think that's something to do with the push as well. And also, you hear that sound in the background? That's the machine gun marking me dying. They're not on the card yet. I'm so sad.
I'm dying, too.
I will agree with that completely, but don't count the guns out completely. I got a feeling they will do something with the guns at some point. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with them. I'm hoping they're last-minute additions to the X Division escape match for the X Division title. I'm really hoping that because that's where they were last year and that's where they belong. But don't hold your breath.
And it got narrowed down by one. There's only one spot left.
Who are the other guys?
Macho, Lethal, Curry Man. Sanjay, Lethal, Curry Man. Thursday, who qualified?
Divine, and I died
Divine.
A little on the inside.
That
Divine.
A lot.
And Shark Boy is in.
Yay!
I hate to say this, but it almost feels like the Kermit and Shark Boy have literally taken the gun spot from under him. Can anybody agree with me on that comment?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I just want to know who's Cornflakes the Alex Shelley piston.
I don't think he picked anybody. I think the fact of the matter that TNA is looking for stuff that entertains right now, not necessarily wrestling, and that's a bad choice for them to be making because I like the wrestling factor from under it. I'm not taking away from the wrestling credits of either Shark Boy or Curry Man, but they're looking for things that are going to put asses in seats right now, and that's where they're moving with it. And unfortunately, the guys... Well, I agree with that. I think the guns are going to put rears in seats too. But I think at this juncture right now, where things are moving, Creative's going to be looking at Shark Boy and Curry Man more than they're going to look at the guns. Don't count them out completely, though. I probably, since AJ Tomko are in Lethal Lockdown, I would expect probably to see something between LAX and the Guns because those were the two teams that squared off at the end of the number one contenders match last month in Norfolk. So I'd expect maybe to see something between the two of them this month at Lockdown. You'll see them on the pay-per-view at some point. I guarantee it.
And listen to this piece of news. Scott Steiner is cashing in his world title shot.
After Lockdown?
He will have... his title shot at Sacrifice facing off against Joe or Kurt Angle.
So it's Joe and Steiner and May then?
Yes.
Likely.
So. Okay, that's fine. Let's get it out of the way. Let's get to the major angle that's going to lead us to Slammiversary in June.
Yes. We start the next storyline arc, which is... Ending at Slammiversary and continues to Bound for Glory.
Exactly. So essentially they're using Scott as filler, which is fine. I don't think Scott, fine. Let's hash that. Scott was a main eventer in WCW for the last few years of the run before Vince Bottom, blah, 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 blah. Scott's not meant to be a main eventer at this juncture. I think Scott realizes that. The fact that Scott's getting a main event right now, I think, is probably more of a... thank you for everything you've done sort of pat on the back. We're giving you a title shot on pay-per-view. It's a good payout. So
And I would also like to take whoever
and we might finally get the decent Scott Steiner versus Samoa Joe match that we've been waiting 2 years for.
Yeah.
Did they already have a match? When I watched TNA, Joe and Steiner were feuding.
Slammiversary 2006.
Yeah, actually, I had that on tape. I actually watched that earlier this week. It was actually pretty decent, give or take. Joe did a lot of work.
I have it recorded on DVD.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Let's talk about the bigger part of. Let's talk about the bigger part about Impact, the amazing dark match. Quote, Kaz defeated some jobber with a bullfighter cowboy gimmick.
Consequences Creed?
No, but I'm thinking by this time next year, some jobber with a bullfighter cowboy gimmick will be main eventing the company.
Let's not go that
far. Matt Morgan is because he's leaving after for his American Gladiator gig.
No. Let's not go that far and make those
No. Matt Morgan has been granted permission by NBC Universal to do both.
Okay.
He's going to tape American Gladiators and tape Impact and be allowed to do Impact and TNA at the same time. They've given him permission to do that.
Which honestly isn't too hard, considering that, you know, the NBC will probably work their taping schedule for Gladiators in between when TNA does their TV, and Matt's not working house shows right now either.
No, he's not. But now let's get back to what we were supposed to be talking about. Spring cleaning.
I have my list ready.
I just moved into an apartment, so.
All right. Trista, we'll start with you. Who do you think's getting Das Boot?
I'm going to say the same three people I say every year, and that would be Tori, Ashley, and Maurice. I say this because I don't like any of them, and that's my only reason for it.
Do you have anybody else?
No. None at all. I totally forgot we were doing this. I didn't even make my list. So that's good. So like my three go-to people, and that's Tori, Ashley, and Maurice.
And who do you have leaving, Nikki?
Well, I think everybody's going to have, except Trista, is going to have Robbie McAllister on their list.
That one was already much a given.
Yeah. I'm adding Charlie Haas because despite the Lucha Man gimmick, it's not getting to TV. Kevin Thorne, who's been just utterly and completely destroyed. I cried when I saw him in Cleveland. He's nobody now. Absolutely nobody. I have worries for Nunzio, but I don't think they will get rid of they'll get rid of him because he's a good hand. Let's see. There's one other person that I was thinking was going to get the boot. Somebody's coming in.
Tyler, you're on the air.
Hello?
Tyler.
Yes, late, but I'm here.
Yes, we only have about 7 minutes left in the show.
So, I got one more name.
All right.
Just one more name on that list, and that's Kenny Dykstra. He's kind of fallen off the map. I hope they find something for him to do quick, or he's gonna be gone.
Lucas?
As mentioned by almost everybody already, the Highlanders are on the list. I have Tori on the list, too, because, really, Stunts Factor not doing anything with her. Kenny Dykstra as well, because, basically, as mentioned, he's been doing nothing as well. I have Nunzio and Funaki on the list. Now, I wouldn't put Funaki on here necessarily every year, but they fired Scotty last year, so I wouldn't be shocked if they fired Funaki this year. Boogeyman, even though they say they're going to use him sparingly, I don't think they're going to have room for him. He'll go. And then Deuce and Domino, I'm not sure if they'll be fired in spring. I think they'll be fired later on because the SmackDown tag scene, they should move into Raw and maybe boost up their tag scene. But realistically, I don't think they're going to find anything to do with them.
And Shane? Sean?
Yeah, we've already mentioned the Highlanders. I'd be surprised if Boogeyman goes because the fact that he had complained so hard because he was released the first time. You'd be surprised how many individual talent people actually have clauses in their contract that says they cannot be released. A good example of that would be Mark Henry. I mean, every year we could always say, because Mark Henry is pretty much just jobbing out to everybody, you know, Undertaker and casket matches in recent months and in recent years. You know, he'd be one I'd throw up there, but I know for a fact Mark Henry has a clause in his contract where he can't be fired. So, you know, you might want to take that into account. But if you want to look at it, Ashley's not going anywhere because she's a bunny. She's going to do a good draw, and she's going to bring a big male contingent, at least for the TNA factor for WrestleMania and the Bunny Mania match. Kenny Dykstra, I could agree with. I think he's young, so if anything, they might not release him and send him down, but he'd be on my bubble list. Charlie's definitely on top for cut. Charlie would be one. Robbie would be two. And then three. I see Matt Stryker. Big Daddy D can get on his own without Matt Stryker, and so can Mark Henry. And even though Matt's got wrestling skills, let's be honest. When's the last time you see Matt Stryker wrestle?
2007.
Exactly. Matt is pretty much a mouthpiece. Even though he's a decent mouthpiece, he's a mouthpiece nonetheless. They can get by without him. Same thing as they did with Ranjan Singh. They took Ranjan Singh off and let him do his normal booking job. So, you know, if you want a three, you're looking at Charlie, you're looking at Robbie, and then you're looking at Matt Stryker.
Right. And Tyler, who do you have on your spring cleaning list?
Basically, anybody who in general has not been used for anything, you know, if they've been used for run-ins or if they've been used in a lot of dark matches. I mean, if there are new talent coming in, you know, obviously they're on the way in. But if it's people like was mentioned, Charlie Haas, you know, personally, I wouldn't mind if they kind of, you know, did the old sweep under the rug to Kali, but I think we're going to have to pray for a miracle on that one.
I wish.
Does anybody know that in India, they actually edit Kali's matches to make him look favorable?
Yes, I did read that.
I want
to do some heavy editing to go through those matches.
I want to do some editing in Canada so that all the Canadian guys win every week. It'd be great.
Yeah, but they don't have any Canadians on the show, well, except for Edge.
They have tons of Canadians on the show. A lot of, like, the Highlanders are Canadian. They're from, like, Cambridge.
Oh. Cambridge, Nova Scotia?
Hey, by the way. I don't know if y'all know this, but now they're doing they're going to let the Battle Royal be previewed, apparently, on WWE.com, and then the rest of it will be on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
6:30 p.m.
And I died on
the
inside.
I'm not going to have I don't have a laptop handy. In fact, the house I'm going to does not have Wi-Fi, so I can't watch it.
Right.
I'll be watching.
Here's what I got over here. I got Ted DiBiase Jr. getting released.
No. You think so?
Yes.
No. He was in Noah, for God's sake. He's got to be good.
He's Canadian.
D.H. Smith is getting released.
I hope not. Even though he screwed up.
And number three?
I see Robbie McAllister getting released.
I'm
fired.
That's a given. I'm Robbie, and
I'm fired.
Question. How many of you guys had Robbie on your list before last night?
Not me.
Not me.
I had Highlanders on there because I figured, okay, they've been on Heat since, like, half a year. I don't think they're going to stick around much longer.
No. Charlie Haas going away. I have Deuce and Domino going away. I have Lena Yada going away.
Good.
Lena Yada's got a guaranteed 1 year, so I would, because the Diva Search gimmick is a guaranteed 1 year, $250,000. So technically, she can't be let go until the fall.
But she didn't win.
Lina Yada did. Yes, she did.
I thought Eve won.
Eve was the winner. Lena Yada was one of the leftovers that they just picked up for fun.
Okay, yeah, never mind. I retract my previous comments. It tells you how much I don't watch that segment.
Good point.
You're not the only one, sir.
You're right, Sean. I don't watch that segment either. I see Candice Michelle going.
How can you say that?
I see Ashley going.
Nah.
I see Maurice going.
Yes.
Yes.
That one I'll give you.
And my eternal dark pick, wish comes true, and don't kill me for this one. Bye bye, Styles.
Bye bye, who?
Styles. Joey Styles.
Styles.
I'm calling
Joey
Styles.
No, Joey ain't going anywhere. I'm going to end the show on that. No way.
I'm vetoing that one. No.
No.
Bye.
No way.
No, no, no. I'm ending the show now. Get us out of here.
Oh, my God. I'm vetoing that.
Well, the show's over. Now we're on archive.
Kill him!
We ended the show in a schmoz with everybody going, no, 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 no.
I'm staying on my big red button. All right.
Get off the schmoz button.
Okay, yeah, Styles is my dark pick because I still see him working with the company, but I don't expect him to be on TV anymore. You can still see him on WWE 24/7 when they do History VCW.
Mm-hmm.
Then who do you replace him with to put with Taz? Because Taz is not carrying the load by himself.
He's a color guy. He can't.
Dreamer?
Yeah. No. I
see,
see, I see. This is what I see. I think Dreamer's looking at one more run, and he's done. Because Dreamer physically, let's be honest, Dreamer's been through hell the past his career. His entire career he's been through hell.
Yeah.
I say Dreamer wins the 24-man Battle Royal in the pre-show and goes on and takes the strap from Chavo at WrestleMania.
You're a man after my own heart.
That's what I legitimately, because let's think about it. With the storylines they've been running, you know, Tommy is one of the only people next to CM Punk who is in a position that can legitimately take the ECW title off of Chavo, because Tommy's been in the tag team title situation he's always been nipping at the heels of the ECW title area. Now, granted, they haven't been feuding him with Chavo, but yet he's always nipping at the heels of the division. So, Punk, let's be honest, Punk is not going to, obviously, with 24 men, Punk is not scheduled to do the Battle Royal. That means you can't hit Punk Chavo again. We've seen that 9 times. So, you know, Tommy, if you look down the list between Raw, SmackDown, and ECW, besides maybe Kane, Tommy's the only person, at least in my eyes, who could legitimately and believably take the ECW title from Chavo, because I don't see Chavo walking out of Orlando with that belt. I just don't.
But at the same point in time, I really don't see Kane doing it either. I mean, I don't think Kane, how long has Kane ever held the world title?
Yeah,
Kane, for a day
in 98.
For a day. Kane never held the world heavyweight title. Kane held the WWE title. He won it at King of the Ring 98 against Austin. It was first blood. But then again, they were kind of teasing Undertaker into that whole gimmick. So, like, they lowered the Hell in a Cell and blah, 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 whatever, whatnot. And Vince was in the middle of it. But Kane won it and dropped it the next night in Pittsburgh to Austin in a one-on-one match.
And that was a schmoz button ending.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a schmoz button in, because what it is, it set up Austin and Undertaker for SummerSlam at the Garden.
And that was a beautiful match.
Yes, I will agree. That was a really good match between Austin and Taker. Those two can work each other like it's a dream.
I have a crazy idea for this. Since SmackDown and ECW have a working relationship, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
There's this masked man who enters the Battle Royal, wins. The masked man comes out and says he's La Conquistador.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Christopher Daniels is coming back to take his tag belt that's rightfully his?
No.
No.
No. Listen. He beats Chavo 1-2-3. He unmasks, and it's Edge.
No. There's no way Edge getting one night. There's no way Edge in one night goes from winning losing the world title to winning the ECW title. There's no way.
So, and then backstage, he says, "I'm feeling so good. The belts are unified."
No. Sorry. ECW's ratings are too high. They're going to get re-signed for another year because they're the highest rating thing on sci-fi, period. Not happening. No way. I like the idea. The only question is this. Could he be Conquistador Dos? So that's the only words that come out of his mouth from the promo would be Dos. And that's it.
Quick little fact, if you don't mind me doing this. I was reading up on something the other day, and I don't know if y'all realize, but do you realize that ECW is not technically under WWE itself? It's actually a sub-brand under the WWE libraries. So if you ever look at your copyrights and stuff, ECW is under the WWE libraries as compared to Raw and SmackDown are under the actual WWE itself.
Really? Because I thought the whole purchase gimmick in 2001, when WWE purchased the company in bankruptcy, they bought all the names and copyrights.
Right, but ECW is under its library division versus instead of it being under its WWE division. Just like I'm probably figuring that AWA and all the other organizations that they've bought out are under the WWE libraries instead of straight WWE. But they still carry the WWE logo. Like if you look on the CD front, you'll see it'll say WWE Home Video. But if you look at the very bottom where it has all the copyrights, or if you watch the actual end of each DVD, it'll probably say WWE Libraries instead of World Wrestling Entertainment.
So what would it take then for WWE? Because to my knowledge, what I knew is that the company as an entity. So we're talking ECW as an entity was in the bankruptcy court, which means Vince could buy the entity, not necessarily the library, because with that came the logos, the trademarks, all the character names and everything. I mean, the pay-per-view names, everything.
Right.
So, I mean, technically, because when his fans talk in generalities, all Vince bought ECW, you think, okay, that comes with everything. I mean, that kind of throws me off thinking that he only owns the libraries, because I don't think that, because Vince wouldn't be able to use, if he only used the libraries, he wouldn't own the ECW trademark to use the logo, because then it would come down to the person who owned the copyright and the trademark on the logo, which would have been Paul.
Right. Well, but technically, though, once he bought out everything, he takes over everything. That's why, if you were, say, running, you somehow got big enough and you even uttered the letters ECW, or you used the even trademark, say you're some big, station and all you're doing is reporting it, and you use the ECW logo without permission, bam, lawsuit, because Vince McMahon still owns it. He owns the copy. He owns every single copyright, including characters, trademarks, and I think all it's like separated. It's a two-tiered thing. I think the actual ECW back libraries are in the archive WWE library section, and then all your characters, your logos, your trademarks, all that other stuff is under your WWE itself.
Okay, now that makes sense.
Right.
At least to me it does.
All
right. Okay.
By the way, I just renewed my subscription to WWE 24/7. Did that Tuesday.
Sweet.
Very happy that I got to record the first WrestleMania that I actually got on tape, which was WrestleMania 8.
Oh, from the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis.
And they brought back the Benoit footage.
Yay.
They've been doing that slowly but surely. They've been doing that slowly but surely. I know I had this conversation with Nikki probably about 3 or 4 months ago. They were at the point with Benoit where they weren't showing, they actually didn't show an entire Nitro episode because I guess he had that heavy of an appearance on the Nitro episode itself, to where they said, we couldn't show this episode of Nitro due to technical difficulties, and they moved forward a week on the Monday Night Wars.
No, they have them separated now.
Yeah, I know they have them separated, and that's why. I'm assuming that's why, because of Benoit. So they can do their own separate editing on the whole gimmick. So, but,
yeah,
I mean,
but now it's moved, because now he's fully back into the show.
Which is nice.
And pretty much the entire Benoit story is now dead, per se.
Bad choice of words there.
Yeah, very bad choice of words.
Too soon?
Epic
no.
fail.
That's the piece.
That's right. We didn't have one of these on the show today.
No, we didn't. So press the button.
Whoa! So it's Price is Right gone flare.
Exactly. Like I said, I just see the contestant losing and Flair is the host. That's all.
No,
I
Flair's the contestant.
No, Flair's the host. You lose,
like
that boy. Woo!
I like that. Can you play that drop again?
Whoa!
Yes. I like that drop. Oh, I can't believe Flair's done after this weekend. Who'd have thought? Seriously. Changing subjects, who'd have thought that, you know, here we are in 2008, that Flair would actually be retiring and would be done from in-ring competition?
Okay, so
I thought he did that in 91. I thought he did that in 99. I thought he did that in 2001. I thought he did that in 2004. I thought he did that in 2006.
I'd say from 06 on.
Yet people don't understand backstage politics. Because that's the reason why he left in 91, in 96, in 99.
No, he left in 91 because, not because of Funk, but because of Jim Herd.
Yeah, backstage politics. Essentially. Whether it be a person or a situation, it all qualifies in the backstage politics gimmick.
He left in 98.
Francis.
Right. Okay. Now we move on. And they have Legends of Wrestling up there right now. They talked about WrestleMania.
Michael, a good episode. Sorry.
I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah.
Because I go to a website called WrestleCrap.com. I frequent there. I post a lot on the forums.
Yeah, Nikki, I got to get you the DVD.
I heard my name.
I said, I got to get you the DVD of this episode. You really need to watch this.
All right.
Oh,
yeah,
and I got Nikki to post on the forums.
Really?
Well, somebody asked me to go post about the announcer position that's opening up in Indiana, which I'm still very interested in.
Hmm.
Doesn't sound like any of that's going to start happening until late spring, early summer.
That reminds me, if anybody talks to D2 this week, tell them to get in touch with me so I can help them out for IPW. You won't respond to my messages for some reason. I have no clue why.
All right, I'll let her know, Sean.
Thank you.
I don't understand that. He should be listening. Oh, well.
Yeah, I dropped him a line about a week or so ago, and I've yet to hear back from him, so I'm kind of scratching my head. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. So, sorry. Moving back to Legends of Wrestling.
Right. I can't wait for the next one, which is Worst Characters.
When is that coming
That's
out?
A good one.
I think it's coming out next month.
In April?
Yeah, mid-April. I think mid-April.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to need to watch that because I guarantee you they're going to stab at Danny Demento and I'm going to laugh.
Well,
he's
been firing. Well, he's been lambasting WrestleCrap, so I hope so.
Does anybody know that actually he posted something on YouTube this week asking for fans to take signs to WrestleMania with his name and everything on it about him, and WWE has actually told security to take signs from fans that say anything regarding Damian Demento?
Vince has become completely paranoid.
Wow.
Didn't we figure that out a few years ago when he started booking God?
No, that's just delusional.
Oh.
Paranoid is locking down your hotel before WrestleMania because you're afraid something's going to happen to your superstars.
Or blocking TNA talent from visiting your WWE superstars.
Because
you want separation between companies.
Like I
actually said. The security became really lax about it and they just let him in anyways.
At the TV hotel, I heard that happened at Universal Studios where they're doing fan access. I haven't heard that about the hotel yet.
Yeah, at fan access that happened, and Cage got to visit Edge, and Angle visited with people, and...
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So they say at the TV hotel, I don't think they would do that. So just because they're going to be fair to everybody, they're going to be, strict to everybody. Because, you know what, Nikki, we went, what, was it 22? We went to the TV hotel or tried to go to the TV hotel.
We weren't allowed to see anything. It was 22.
Yeah, it was 22 when we were in Chicago. We tried to go to the TV hotel with, it was you, me, John, and a bunch of other people. And we tried to go to the TV hotel on our way over to the merch stand that was at the travel package hotel in Rosemont. And they wouldn't even let us in there.
Exactly. And, I mean, to a point I understand this. And, some of the lockdown I understand, as I said during Around the Horn, it's like an American Family employee sitting in on a nationwide meeting. Vince has a legitimate concern. I agree that there should be some casual interaction, but one stupid fan with a camera or a camera phone gets video of TNA and WWE stars talking with each other, and the rumor boards go bananas. It doesn't help either company. And Vince just doesn't want that to happen.
I agree. And also I've heard as well that the biggest reason why they locked down the hotel is not only the fans, because let's be honest, and Nikki, you can agree with this because you've been in some situations where you've gone hotel hopping as well on lower scales. A, it's the biggest show of the year, and B, I know at 22 they did this, and I think at 23 they did this as well at the Renaissance Center in one of the floors of the hotel or one of the ballrooms. They actually build a ring for guys to actually work through stuff so that, because they can't work, obviously, at the building, especially in this case for Citrus Bowl, where the ring's probably not even built yet, So they've got to have a ring built for them to work through stuff to make stuff clean, because they can't have everybody trying to work stuff on the afternoon of the show. It's just not going to happen.
And not in an outdoor venue like that. No way.
Yeah,
from
a worker standpoint, I can understand that because that's why we get there at the building at 4, 5, 3, or 2 in the afternoon is, to do what we need to do to put on the best product we can for our paying fans. So I can understand that to an extent that, you got to protect your product at some point. The TNA thing seems a little bit extreme, but the lockdown thing from the fans, I can understand because of the amount of fans that's there, and two, because if they actually build a ring to actually work during the week, that's completely understandable.
And, some of the stuff, you can go ahead and grumble about Vince picking up all these hotels, but he needed some place to put these people for the travel packages. He needed some place to put his people, and it's for one freaking weekend. I think TNA can suck it up for one weekend.
Yeah, but how many other hotels are there in Orlando? Especially near
how many
the
hotels? Granted, there's also hotels closer to the Citrus Bowl if they're actually using the ones by Universal Studios, but
there might be the, there might also be the least expensive ones, which is something else. Yes, Vince has made a money, but you keep your money by not spending so much. And like I said, it's one weekend.
True.
Right.
And if TNA had that big of a problem, they should have had their hotels booked way in advance.
Yeah, I think that Vince went in and undercut him a long time ago. That almost makes me think. I'm not trying to be pro TNA when I say that, you know. I'm just saying because granted, the TNA guys, they essentially almost have a standing reservation at those hotels because the fact that they're down there every other week for at least 2 days. So it almost feels like that Vince tried to financially cut his way into the deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just feel like it did a whole lot of damage. I mean, if Vince was doing that, you know, if Vince did that every time he came to Orlando, I think you'd have a case.
True. Then again, you're not hosting WrestleMania every time you come to Orlando, though. You're not going to have the crowd draw that you would for, say, WrestleMania.
Right.
Yes,
so,
and what would you say would be the average crowd? How many people will they fit in there? I heard that they could get over 100,000 people in there.
That
in the Citrus Bowl?
At the Citrus Bowl.
Okay, give me a second here.
Without the stage, without the set, because also for anybody who's been on the sheets this week, one of the TV stations is actually taking photos of them working at the Citrus Bowl, so you can see how huge the stage is. And how massive and how many seats it's taking up. You know, I honestly think the Citrus Bowl could hold over 100,000. But by the time you count out the seating with the stage and how much of the floor they're going to use, you know, 70,000 probably sounds as a reasonable number. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to beat WrestleMania 23 last year in Detroit. I don't think they're going to do it. You know, I think in Texas next year, when they do WrestleMania next year in Texas, they got a good shot at beating it next year. But once again, set is what kills the numbers. You know, let's be honest. 23 last year in Detroit, based on the card they had last year in Detroit, if they would have gone to the way they did things in the 80s, because I'm not saying this to put the fact that I'm an 80s guy over, because I do like the 80s more so than I like the product now, but I'm not saying this as an 80s guy, but let's look at the fact if they took the stage away, okay, you keep the lighting and all that gimmick lighting over the ring and blah, 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 whatever, whatnot. You know, you keep everything else. If you take the stage away itself and you have the little entranceway like you did in the 80s, they could have broke 93,000 last year in Detroit. Easy. Based on
four seating.
Yeah,
but didn't it take place at the same arena that WrestleMania 3 took place in?
No, Ford Field. Half an hour north.
Yeah, the Silver Dome they're not using for anything now. It's dormant. And the Ford Field they've started using for the Lions about 5 years ago now. And that's right in downtown Detroit.
It is in downtown Detroit. Pontiac is about a half an hour north of the city of Detroit. And it's actually in a town. It's actually in Pontiac, Michigan as a city is where they did that.
I've been by. I was by it last month on a bus trip to visiting a friend of mine in Windsor. That's why I know the Detroit area really well. And, yeah, Pontiac is dormant pretty much now, the Silver Dome especially. But back to
Pontiac
the Citrus Bowl for a second.
Yeah, Pontiac does a lot of conventions and things like that,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really do a whole lot of sporting events. But I mean, but let's look at it, honestly. They did 80,000 with a stage, you know, for WrestleMania last year. Let's be honest, and if anybody disagrees with this, I don't know how you can have a viable argument to this. If you take down that stage, they could have done 93,000. Nikki, you were there sitting right next to me in the middle on the fifth row at WrestleMania last year. You know, can you agree with me on this, the fact that, you know, if they would have took down that massive honking stage that they had, I mean, even if they would have went to a reduced stage, they still could have done some kind of stage, but not to the level that they did it with. They still could have beat 93,173.
They did sound pretty damn close, because every time I look at the WrestleMania 3 footage, I'm like, good Lord, they could have had 100,000 there, because the aisles were so wide. They had plenty of room. They could have broken 100,000 at WrestleMania 3. At WrestleMania 23, yeah, we would have pushed 90,000. I don't know if we could have broken the record per se, although you did have a lot of extra standing room only. Now, getting to the Citrus Bowl, I've been to the Citrus Bowl. I've sat in it. I've worked in it. I did a freelance gig there. We did a marching band competition. This place has a football stadium, seats 70,000 people. I don't think you can put 20,000 on the field, stage and ring or not. It's gonna be a pretty good turnout though. Even though I actually know some smarks who sold their tickets because John Cena was going to be there. That's a shame.
Well, let's not go down the road to those smarks. Let's not even acknowledge them, please.
All right.
I'm going to use my vast only Canadian college football fan knowledge to use here. Since UCF, one of the college teams, I follow every college team, they play in the Citrus Bowl, as Nikki mentioned. And they have about, as she said, 70,000. So I figure you get 70,000, and there's no north end zone, there's no bleachers in the north end zone. There's temporary ones you can put in there, so I figure that's where the stage is going to be. And I figured there'll be about, attendance-wise, it seems to get 70,000 stands-wise most. You're going to get around 83,000 probably. I'm going to guess around that.
I'm going to take gander on that.
Are you accounting in the fact that you're taking away about 10,000 to 15,000 for the north end zone that you're using? Because, once again, and I say that because I've seen the pictures from the Orlando TV stations. I've seen how they've started building the stage. It's a huge honking stage. It really is. It takes up at least the length of, if you want to talk wide, going from left to right, the entire end zone in seating.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at least 10,000 to 15,000 that you're cutting out in seating in all levels. So you're figuring, okay, they're going to make up at least the 10,000 to 15,000 in floor seating. Maybe add 5,000, 10,000 if you extremely push it. So 80,000 at that stadium would be a stretch, at least in my eyes.
Now, Luke just said there's no seats in that end zone. I've been to XFL games. There is one side that there is no seats to be had, unless they've done some renovating that I'm not aware of.
Then maybe they are they doing it? I don't know what end zone they're doing. I'm not familiar with how the end zones are laid at that. With that stadium, they're doing it by the scoreboard.
Then, yeah, that's the side where there's no seats.
Okay, so then you're looking at 70,000 then. Maybe they could beat 80,000 then if you're looking at that. I don't know. I think it's going to be hard to beat. I think it's not going to sell out. It's not going to sell out, unfortunately.
And what about the fact that cities are starting to bid for WrestleMania now?
I think that's good. I think that's good in the fact that not only for the cities, not only for WWE, the fact that cities are actively wanting to bring where WWE doesn't have to go to a city and say, hey, we want to bring WrestleMania to you from a worker standpoint, from a company standpoint, but the fact that, hey, the cities are seeing, hey, this is going to be a huge economical input for our city. This is going to bring millions upon millions of dollars to this city in one weekend. And with this economy that we're in right now, what city is not going to want something like WrestleMania in their city, especially with the economy we're in right now? You know?
And I'll throw in another parallel. A lot of people call WrestleMania the Super Bowl of wrestling. So why not? Let's have it bid for just like they bid for Super Bowls. I don't. Think
and Orlando has put in a 2012 bid for WrestleMania.
2009, for those of you who are listening even on archive who don't know this, 2009 is essentially a lock. It's probably going to be that last weekend or first weekend of April. They haven't solidified a date yet. We'll know on Sunday. They'll make the announcement on Sunday as to a date, but it will be at Reliant Stadium in Houston, Texas. Now, we're not talking the Reliant Astrodome. There is a difference. We're talking Reliant Stadium. It's the new stadium that they built about 3 or 4 years ago that the Texans play out of. It is a covered roof stadium. It is essentially in the model of Ford Field. And even in seating. So they could do 80,000 again at Reliant Stadium next year in 2009.
I think that'd be good.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, personally, myself, I'm going to start making plans probably in the next month or so to at least procure a hotel. I'm assuming on it because I went to the past two WrestleManias. Mickey was there with me for both of them. regardless of whether anybody goes with me or not. You know, this year, I took the year off. I'm not going to be at WrestleMania this year. Based on the simple fact that it's an outdoor WrestleMania, that, and there's some other personal issues I won't get into, but I am making plans now. I will be at 25 in 09.
That's going to be big for WrestleMania. WrestleMania 25.
Yeah, a quarter century in the making. Yeah, I think that'll be just as big as any of the evens that they've done at Madison Square Garden. You also have to look at this as well. Let's be honest. Let's shift WrestleMania into a topic here for everybody else to chime in on. Let's talk cards. Let's look at the past 3 years, 22, 23, 24. Granted, 22 they did it at Rosemont, at Allstate, where you only have a 20,000 capacity compared to 23 with 80,000 at Ford Field, including standing room only. You know, but let's look at cards, essentially. Do you think, and I'm, let's open this up, Mr. Seidelman, if you have a problem with me posing the question, let's look at the card. Who thinks that 24's card is anywhere comparable to anything they've done in the past 5 years? Or 4 years, between 20, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. Let's look at the card itself. Is it anywhere near where any of those years have been? Because I feel it's kind of lackluster.
It is lackluster. Actually, in my honest opinion, it's been lackluster for the past 3 years. You haven't got a really solid WrestleMania card since 21.
See, I think 22 had its own thing to offer, and I think you have to look at this, and anybody else, once again, anybody else can chime in on this as well. You have to look at it in the city you're running into. 22, Chicago, a traditional wrestling city. Cena Hunter got over in a traditional wrestling city because Hunter is a traditional wrestler. Cena did not do a lot of brawling in that match. It was a traditional wrestling contest. So it got over. I thought for being there and even watching it on DVD and on pay-per-view, I think it got over in the sense that it was a traditional wrestling contest. 23 was about the same. You know, Detroit is also a very traditional wrestling city. You know, you had a little more brawling because Sean really is not a technical wrestler. You know, neither is Cena, obviously, from what we've seen in his career. You know, so 23 maybe didn't endure itself as much, you know, but once again, from being in the crowd, listening to the crowd and everything, it was a good match because they did what they could to endear to the fans. You know, you had Sean and Vince at 22. You had an amazing Money in the Bank at both WrestleManias. You had somewhat of a solid undercard. You had a solid undercard at 23. You had somewhat of a solid undercard at 22. The only thing I didn't like at 22, and everybody else can chime in, Boogeyman Booker was a bad one. Obviously,
I would have to say that most of the card was pretty bad.
Can I ask how so? I'm just wanting to know. Because
Undertaker, Mark Henry?
Well, once again, you've got to have something that's going to put Undertaker over, and you have to look at it in that form. Who else could you have ran against Undertaker at that time? Not many. Not many people could
have
gone.
Well, you could have Undertaker, Randy Orton, too, because Randy Orton certainly wasn't doing anything.
He was in the main event at 22.
Oh, yeah. Well, take him out. Now, I wouldn't have put Orton. Well, Orton did win it anyway. But the way they did it was pretty stupid, in my opinion, when they had Mysterio in there. Because Mysterio legally lost his shot.
But that whole part of the storyline was stupid anyway. Rey Mysterio won the Royal Rumble. He was supposed to get a title match at WrestleMania. That's the whole point of winning the Royal Rumble. And whether anybody thinks he's a good champion or not, Rey Mysterio deserved it more than Randy Orton ever did. And Randy Orton even fucked it up the weekend before WrestleMania when he chewed out somebody at the hotel and should have probably been fired that day. But it didn't happen. If it was just Angle Mysterio, I'll tell you what, it would have taken the roof off.
And I'll agree, but then again, you also, once again, I hate to say it, but being a worker, I will continue to reference this, backstage politics. That's what you're looking at ultimately. And once again, Vince does not care about endearing to the fans. Vince is going to feel for what he is going to do to put his product over. And unfortunately, Vince feels that Randy Orton is going to get his product over. Unfortunately, Vince is going to think very wrong.
Vince McMahon has already gone publicly on record. The only reason he does what he does on TV is to make sure he can masturbate to it. And that's I disagree with it wholeheartedly. No, he's actually said that on TV. He's actually said that on TV, and I still think it's a shoot comment. He just, you know, I don't want to see what he wants to see.
Exactly, and that's why we're seeing Katie Vick and Paul Burchill, you know, on TV now, is because Vince is pretty much sitting
Katie
there going...
Vick, Katie Lee and Paul Burchill.
Sorry, Katie Lee and Paul Burchill. My apologies,
Katie Vick is owned by Artie Reynolds and Blade Braxton now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you're seeing Katie Lee and Paul Burchill, so Vince can sit there in gorilla position every Monday and go, oh, incest angle's so good, oh, every Monday night, or on Heat.
Well, better Paul Burchill and Katie Lee, who, oh, by the way, said yes to the angle, than Vince and Stephanie, which was the original plan.
Ooh.
Very
Katie
true.
Katie and Paul Burchill had veto power to do the angle, and guess what? They said yes.
I think
yeah,
I just
that's
threw
very,
up a bit in my mouth.
I will agree. I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit on that too. You know, and I'll agree at that because. But you know what? Let's look at Paul Burchill. How many times did he have to go on TV, and how many times did he get sent back down to developmental? You realize you're only going to get so many shots. Yeah, you're only going to get so many shots to do what you got to do. So unfortunately, you have to take one for the team. And I think that's what Paul Burchill's doing right now. He's taking one for the team at the fact that he's going to get back on TV, and it's a decent payout for him.
Yeah, you know what? It got him jobs in the 17 on 2 tag match. That's what it got him. And Paul Burchill and Katie Lee haven't done squat on TV. They did their thing for 2 weeks and fell off the mat. They had a heat match in Indianapolis. That's taking one for the team. And Paul Burchill probably ended up stuck back in developmental and take the blame for a gimmick they didn't even give a chance to, even if it did suck.
Nikki, I think they're probably waiting for after WrestleMania to really start to push this thing.
Well, then they should have waited until after WrestleMania to debut it.
I can understand the frustration on that because of the fact that they've been sitting in the waiting so long, you know. But look, you know, let's look at two people WWE signed back beginning of the year, Ron Killings and Chris Harris. You know, they're sitting on them. They're now just starting to do dark matches for coming back to TV. So you can almost say the same thing for those two gentlemen. You know, those two are very talented people. Chris is now. You know, Chris lives in just south of Cincinnati, so I know that because I've seen Chris more times at indie shows than I take care to shake a stick at. You know, Chris is just now starting to go to develop, not necessarily going to developmental because his contract will not allow him to go to developmental because his contract says I go straight to TV. But Chris is working, you know, with developmental every week right now and training with them, getting back into ring work. So he can start going back to TV like he did in Chicago almost 3 weeks ago against Shelton in Chicago at SmackDown ECW. You know, I don't necessarily, you know, you could say the same, oh, well, they're not being used as well. You have to think, you know, and this is the way I think about it, and I think about when it comes to some indie bookings I don't really want to take. You know, any ring time is ring time, period. You know, whether you're being used or not, you know, okay, Katie Vick and Paul Burchill, or Katie Lee and Paul Burchill, you know, okay, they were on Raw for 2 weeks to introduce the character to the fans, to kind of get their palate wet on it, and then they've pushed him away in the thought that, okay, well, we're going to get done with these major gimmicks they've got now, and we're going to push him back into the front line again, and, you know, because, you know, Vince isn't really on TV a whole lot right now anyway either.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing, but I think we're probably going to see Vince somewhere in this angle, unfortunately.
I think it's stupid to put somebody on. You know, they know they're getting on TV. They know they have the gimmick in place. If you're not ready to push it 100%, if you're not ready to back it completely and let the story go, then don't put it on TV for 2 weeks and take it away. I mean, you did that to D.H. Smith. Now, granted, he shot himself in the foot. But it was stupid to throw him up on TV when you knew he was getting suspended. Just don't put him on TV. And, you know, take the paycheck away from him for that. In the case of Paul Burchill and Katie Lee, it's coming. I think they would have been willing to wait until after WrestleMania to debut their gimmick if it meant more TV time in the long run. Now you've got 2 weeks of this, and then we saw Paul Burchill walk into the ring and get RKO'd. That gives me all kinds of confidence of where his character is going. Yeah, baby. Sorry.
Nobody thinks like that.
Really,
unfortunately,
what's going on in the Rumble the Mania corridor? If you've got new gimmicks ready to go, sure. Wait till after WrestleMania. Get all your storylines finished up. Get all that started. We're on the restart. The Monday after WrestleMania. Throw all the new shit at me then.
And that's and here's the thing. They did it really well with Umaga. Because rumor had it they were going to debut him before WrestleMania. Then the night after WrestleMania happened, Armando came out, brought out Umaga. Umaga's still going strong.
I was just going to say that. I'm going to make this point quick before I have to go for the evening. But I agree with what Nikki was saying. If you want to debut a new talent, you got to debut him right after Maniac, because that's when they're going to get all of their momentum. Just like you mentioned with Umaga example. The only exception, I guess, would kind of be the Spirit Squad debuted, I think, before or just after the Royal Rumble in 06, and then they won the belts right after that in 07, or not 06, but not 07, but 06 right after WrestleMania. So if you do people like that and book them well and hit their momentum up right at the start, then they're going to go over well. But like you said, with Burchill, who just comes on and all of a sudden then, boom, he's swept under the rug, which basically what happens around Mania time, a lot of the undercard guys seemingly disappear. So in that sense, if you want to book a younger talent, like even – if you want to bring up, please bring up Seidel and Colt this week. If they do that, then they'll really be pushed up the card in that regard, and as opposed to coming around mid-year, and then they get kind of put in the back burner.
Right.
Okay, but look at this. Think of it in this manner as well. You know, you can only introduce so many characters to the fans at one time before it starts getting extremely convoluted. You have to think of it in the fact that you can't overtaste the palate of the wrestling fans. The normal wrestling fan right now has a very short attention span. That's why you don't see 4 to 5 to 6 new characters being introduced after WrestleMania, because the wrestling fans are not going to remember it. That's why you only see Umaga by himself or the Spirit Squad by himself. You can't introduce Katie Lee, Paul Burchill, or Chris Harris, Ron Killings. You know, you can't introduce all of them all at once, even if they're going to go to different brands. You can't do that to the one fan who's going to watch all brands, because then they're going to start getting their wires crossed. You know, oh, Durka Durka, who's this character? Oh, wait a minute, you know, blah, 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 blah. They're not going to remember it anyway, and it kills everything Vince has tried to put money into.
Well, Vince essentially demonstrated what he thinks fans are when he introduced Eugene. That's what he thinks every WWE
Durka.
Fan is, Eugene.
Durka Durka?
Durka Durka, very big-time Durka Durka. If you actually put some thought into the fact that there are intelligent fans out there, let the Durka Durka marks get lost. Let them get lost,
right.
Because give them 6 months, they're going to watch every single show, they will figure it out. Because
yeah, but Vince,
say, ooh.
Vince,
you know,
is dollar
Vince
sign.
Well, if Vince wants to keep calling us Eugene, you know, that's his problem. I have no problem with him debuting 6, 7, 8 characters across 3 shows. That's 2 to 3 characters per show. I watch all 3 shows. I think the shows need the variety right now, especially if we're going to have a rotating door for suspensions and injuries. We need those people.
Because from what I'm hearing right now, they have this big developmental roster and they're doing nothing with it.
They should have never
left
Louisville.
Yeah, that's the main thing. They shouldn't have left Louisville. I like OVW too. And plus, you're getting everybody's moving there. There's going to be a lot of dead time getting everybody there in Florida and then booking it all again and getting everybody back in roles, and that's going to take a while as well. But anyway, guys, I have to go. Thanks for having me on again, and I will talk to you guys again soon, hopefully.
Thanks,
take care, Lucas.
Take care.
Thank you, sir.
And speaking on that note of debuting people, I just thought of a great idea on who to debut on SmackDown for April.
Cabana.
Not Cabana. Why not get Billy Kidman back on the air?
He's a trainer. He's not working.
I don't even think he has a contract as a worker. I think his contract is a back office contract.
And
I can double check that.
And even if he did, I don't think he'd want to because he can't use his signature move.
Well, he could use what he used prior. Missile drop.
How many people remember that?
I don't.
Exactly.
Or he could use his second finisher, which was the X Factor.
Anything involving the word X or can bring up any mention of X-Pac will never, ever be used again.
Right.
All right,
and
then it can be called the Kidman Crush. It can be called the Kid Crusher.
That's cool, but I'm just saying that the Shooting Star Press was what put Kidman on the map. And if you can't use it, then there's no reason to put him on TV.
True.
Right.
By the way, how about Jillian, a couple weeks ago on Raw, Jillian Hall botching a 450.
Dude, that wasn't botching a 450. That was an abortion right on TV. That was one big birthing abortion.
I'm just glad she didn't break her ankles.
Exactly.
I can see that on Botchamania 43.
It probably will be on Botchamania 43.
Let's see. I know 42's out, and I haven't watched it yet. I'm on Botchamania 14.
I wonder if I even made the Botchamania as a worker. Probably did.
Ask Dave.
Yeah, I'd have to call Dave and find out.
I love watching the Botchamania series.
Indeed.
Dude, all my friends are on it. See, as a worker, you know, it's the opinion, you know, we've made it in the business when we're on Botchamania.
Well, I'm on Botchamania 14, so I've made it.
You're on Botchamania 14?
In the first minute.
Doing
what? Was that for Survival of the Fittest 2006?
No, it's for Bad Blood 04.
Ah, Columbus. What match?
It's not a match. It's in the middle of a promo. And if you you can only get this
Randy
spot,
Orton's
you have the
promo.
Live video. Randy Orton
Randy.
Slipping on the ropes.
Randy
it's
Orton
only on the live broadcast. It's not on the DVD.
Randy Orton moving to the top, to the middle turnbuckle.
Christy,
I have Bad Blood 04 on DVD right now, and I'd be willing to part with it for a little cash.
No, I have it. I'm just
telling
you that if you have the live unless you have the live broadcast, you will not be able to see this part.
They edited it out.
They changed the camera angle because essentially the way it works. And in fact, I pulled up Botchamania 14.
I know what you're talking about and what they do because I remember WrestleMania 20
mm-hmm.
when Ultimate Dragon came out and he tripped up a bit.
Yeah.
And they just changed the camera angle on the DVD set and it's the wide angle.
Yeah.
Francis, get up.
Yes, he says, I am a living legend, and he slips on the middle ropes.
Get a look at greatness. Nah.
Turns out that's not what he said, but that's pretty much that's what we said, and then he slips on the middle rope. If you look in the background while he's ranting and raving, if you look at the hard camera shot, you'll see this huge row of signs spelling out Orton, because unfortunately we had marks behind us. You'll see me holding up a sign that says, Orton fears Jeb. Which was a stab out to my message board. That's where I am. You'll also see my boyfriend over there wearing a Job Squad shirt.
Yay!
Job
you also
squad.
Saw a Job Squad shirt at the TNA show last night.
I wore Job Squad shirts last night.
I would know a lot about jobbing.
You're a rev.
I've done my... Wait a minute. If I correctly, I jobbed with you as the ref back in September.
You can blame the promoter.
True.
You jobbed to the promoter.
Yeah, but you...
Wait a minute. Was this for the God show?
Generation Destination.
I still want these pictures. You want to see, you tell the story.
What story do you want me to tell?
The opening segment and match.
Essentially, we had to build a storyline because our champion decided to no-show with four talent. So we pretty much had to strip him of the title and blah, 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 whatever, whatnot. So essentially, you know, I was a hired talent for Miss Heyman that night, and she came out as a heel to put over what they were doing for the night because we were doing a single elimination tournament to get us to the end with a triple threat. What it was is it was four qualifying matches leading to a fatal four-way elimination style to declare a champion. And yours truly had to go under the mask to actually work because we were short on talent. So here I am in my second match ever,
mm-hmm.
wrestling my trainer and promoter with Nikki as the zebra because we couldn't find another zebra, and I was the only zebra on staff that night.
This was fun though. I was originally backing another wrestler. And decided, you know, I'm going to save him for later in the night. I'm going to get somebody to fight you, Mr. Jones. And while I'm at it, I'll go scare up a referee. I go behind the curtain, take off my coat, throw a red shirt over my dress shirt, send him out, and walk out right behind him into a delightful round of disapproval.
You got over.
It got over.
Oh, it got over. And the end of the show got over even bigger, and I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah, I remember that ended up with you having a black eye.
That was beautiful. How many people jumped?
GDW is actually running a show on the 18th of April. It's a Friday night here just north of Cincinnati. Should we say anything about who you're having conversations with?
I don't want to say too much because I'm still working out the final details, but I am in negotiating with a former WWE talent who lives in the area who might show up at the show and work with us.
Who's off for that? It's running a little bit late, so we might as well end the show right now.
Yeah, we're almost an hour into the archives, so I think it'd probably be best we all tiptoe out of here.
Definitely.
Exactly. My brother's snoring right behind me. Pull it on a shirt. Okay. For Nikki, Sean, and that other guy, I'm Robert Seidelman. Peace.
Out of here.
Bye.